about.
Hope y'all enjoy the show.
I can assure you, I won't.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Numbnut.
What'd you call me?
Numbnut?
What?
Numbnut.
Numbnut is a felt or sheepskin pad placed between a horse's back and the saddle to prevent chafing. Can I say it and then you say it?
Yeah.
Numbnut.
Oh, numbnut. That's a relief.
That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
See, this is why we're not watching TV. People get obsessed.
Talk to the hand.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind? That just happened.
That's how he rolls.
Oh, that's tight.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
That is what she said.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What you talking about, Wallace?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Chicks love Wang Bone.
Roll another one.
It even vibrates like real.
Just like the other one.
What the what?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Lighten up.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, dude.
There's a black man stealing my show.
Roll, roll,
roll,
roll another one.
But he's gay. I mean, he's gay. Excuse me. He's blind.
Just like the other one.
I'm gonna bite my pillow. It's what I'm gonna do.
These gentlemen are here to talk about Beaver.
I don't have another cent.
Mindless chatter that's not compelling or entertaining is an irritant.
Well, that's all, nice of you to say that, I'll tell you that.
Just pass it around.
Ouch, that's a lot of beef.
Babies come out of the butt, right?
And now...
What are you all doing in here? You better not be engaging in pot or other activities.
Our feature presentation.
That guy that was saying mindless chatter,
mm-hmm.
Annoying, mm-hmm. That kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Our boss. Yeah. That was our boss.
Oh, yeah. Describing the Kevin and Bean show.
That was...
One of many times we've heard that description.
Every time we go into a meeting, he says, you're not recording this. And we say, absolutely not. And of course we are. And
right.
then we come out with great tape because he's funny.
Sure.
So that's why you have to do it. Morning, everybody. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:34, and it's Friday, the 12th of Poon.
Could you mean vagina?
We are going to take your phone calls for the Kevin and Bean Friday edition of What It Do, Nephew. And I see that some people are already calling about the Lakers. So before we get to that conversation, let me just say that, Kevin, you are a promoter of death.
Why?
You love when people die needlessly. Oh, I don't know, because I'm reading a story about the recall of a robe that has already killed 6 people.
Snuggies?
Because 6 people have already been... Ah, that's my point. You know how many people have died from wearing a Snuggie?
No.
None.
What is this?
None. Then? This is a robe. This is people who are wearing a robe that turns out to be flammable.
Right.
Catches fire while they're cooking. 6 people have already been killed. So a recall of 162,000 robes has been enacted. And what I'd like to say to you is, for all the time that we've said to you, Snuggies are the way to go, you got to get out of those death traps called robes, and you've laughed at us. Now I've got proof right here that robes are killing people, yet Snuggies are saving lives. What do you have to say about that now?
I'm scanning my memory to see if there was a time when I said, I am vouching for robes that catch on fire. And I'm having trouble finding that.
You didn't say it particularly just like that, but you have been bagging on Snuggies as being lame, as being unnecessary. And what I'm saying is, the robes that you have held up as the standard, that you've said are good enough that we don't need Snuggies because robes are fine, now I'm saying, tell that to the families of 6 dead people. Wow.
I think he was really standing up. I mean, isn't the difference between Snuggies and blankets the issue? Because blankets are what kill you?
No, because...
Because you get tangled and you can't get out?
You do get trapped.
And then,
that does happen.
And then say your house catches on fire and you can't get out because you're trapped.
Kevin has long preferred the superiority he claims of robes over Snuggies. He thinks Snuggies are pointless, right, Kevin?
Yeah, they're gay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But robe... But you know what? If you have a Snuggie, you'll still be alive, is my point.
Okay.
Have a robe nuts. 6 feet under.
That's hard to argue. That's hard to argue.
I'm just saying it's fact. This is me making it up. I'm looking at the story of the recall because of all the people who are dead. None of them were wearing Snuggies, by the way.
This is science?
You don't cook in a Snuggie. Because snuggled up, but you don't. You're snuggled up on the couch because the back of the Snuggie is open.
Are we?
So you would not cook in your Snuggie.
Is this going on the air?
Because your front would be warm, but your back would be cold.
Are we already on the air? Or this before? Are we off?
No. This is the show. I think Mr. Weatherby
is
was
this
right.
On? All right, it's time for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew. If you forgot the phone number,
do you ever want to call the Kevin and Bean Show but don't have the number? We'll peep this.
You can call the Kevin and Bean Show. You don't even need dough. All you really need is a telephone.
Take it if you know.
All right, here comes that number. 800-520-1067. We're going to do it one more time, y'all. 800-520-1067. Oh, yeah. Now you can call Kevin and Bean and let him know how dope this song was. And I'm out of 5,000. Peace.
Sorry, you missed first dial is 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
DJ Omar Khan.
Where did that come from?
Straight from drugs.
Sounds like it.
He's got the good ones.
1-800-520-1067. Tickets are available through Ticketmaster for a little show called The Warped Tour. Brought to you by Vans. June 26th at the Fairplex in Pomona is where it's at this year. And you get to go to see Bad Religion, The Ataris, Less Than Jake, NoFX, Thrice, and so many more. Just for being on Kevin and Bean's What It Do, Nephew.
All right. Let's begin with Nick. Hi, Nick.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Listen to me. How's it going?
Good. What it do?
What it do?
Last night I went to a Laker party.
Yes.
And it was me and three of my friends. We all got like completely like drunk, right?
Right.
So we all lock our keys inside the car. So that was around like 1 a.m.
Excellent.
And we wait like literally like 3 hours for the tow truck driver. It was AAA.
Right.
3 hours for a tow truck driver. And then right now I'm on my way to work and here I am like an hour late for work.
Oh, so you didn't get any sleep at all, and you're an hour late already?
Not at all. Not a wink of
yes,
sleep.
Yes, you're going to be so productive today.
I am. But
you are going to you're going to kick ass today. Your boss is going to give you a raise because you're working so well.
He is.
But were you already drunk by the time this happened?
Fisher looking. Fisher puts up the three. Ties the game. Derek Fisher ties it with 4.6 remaining.
Come on. You know what we should do? We should talk to people today who turned off the game.
Well, who would turn off the game that's that close in the final minutes?
They were down by 11 a couple times. They were down by 5 or 6. And you go, well, you know, technically they could still do it. And they did.
Yeah.
And who could count on Orlando missing free throws and stuff? But you know there are people.
I'd be surprised because it got pretty close by time we got anywhere near the end of the game.
Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, but you're right. At one point, what were they down 11 or 12 or something?
Yeah,
like
something
that.
Like that. And people,
but
maybe,
that was pretty early. Yeah,
I'll bet we could find some because that would suck. All right, let's go to Rick. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning. How you guys?
Good. What'd it do?
What'd it do, nephew? What'd it do, baby boo?
What'd it do, Rick?
What's going on?
Nothing much. I just wanted to see if you guys noticed that Orlando Magic fan, there was two girls sitting behind the three commentators when they panned over towards the end of the game. They got up cheering when they tied the game, the Magic. And then as soon as she went to sit back on her seat, she fell flat on her butt right on the front of TV.
I didn't see the whole game.
I didn't see that.
Winning. It was the best thing that's happened to me in my life.
Wow.
I didn't see it either.
I'm going to have children. It won't be as good as that.
What, is it the end of the game?
Close to the end of the game. Not the end of... overtime, the end of the regular.
Are you guys talking about the Rack twins that were behind the announcers?
They were kind of beat. Yeah. They were kind of beat Cougars, who were probably hot about 25 years ago, but they had huge, huge cans.
And they were on display.
And the one on the far left of our view was trying so hard to get in the view of the camera. Woo, look at me, Orlando, party. And then the camera was about to pan out, and she went to sit down and went straight down. Her legs went up in the air.
That's awesome.
And the guy behind her was like, whoa, you know, trying to help her. It was unbelievable.
I didn't see that. I'm going to have to go back and watch that.
I had to rewind it about 3 or 4 times. I could not get enough of it.
That's the best. That is the best. Yeah, I did notice the cleavage twins. They were back there, and they were trying to, they were really trying to make things work.
Lisa, this won't surprise you that when we're watching basketball games, we are frequently scanning the crowd for hotness.
Not that doesn't surprise me at all.
It wasn't possible to miss them, though. I mean, they were right there.
But did you see the a little bit chubby, the brunette with the giant boobs who had the Beat LA blue T-shirt? Did you see her
a bunch
of times during the game? She was all right, too.
She was usually behind the view of Phil Jackson, right, when they'd show Phil?
Right.
Okay,
right.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
she was a good one. Listen to you guys.
Listen. We pay attention to the important stuff.
Wow.
Let's go to Katie. Hi, Katie. What'd it do?
Hey, what'd it do?
What's going on?
So, yeah, so it's not Laker-related. I was too disturbed to watch the Lakers game last night, but I was kind of complaining to a coworker the other day, or yesterday, excuse me, and I sent a text that said, you know, my boss is a prick, F those guys, they're a bunch of a-holes, and I accidentally sent it to my boss.
Yes, did.
Dude, and I hope you did the right thing, which is blame it on a coworker who you said picked up your phone to play a prank on you.
Yes, right, of course.
Awesome.
Wow.
Oh, my God. And you know when you have those days where you just hate everyone, just kind of pissed off?
Sure, of course. Of course.
You know, we've been working like 4 a.m. I'm actually sitting in the parking lot to go to work right now. 4 a.m. to 7 p.m. Exhausted, bitchy, complaining.
But at least now your boss hates you. At least you got you got that going on. Well, your phone is breaking up, but thank you for the call. That's awesome. Didn't mean to text or didn't mean to email people is always the best.
We've talked to our listeners from time to time who send, you know, they send the sexy time photos that they think are going to their boyfriend or girlfriend. They end up with the parents. I mean, there's a lot of things that can go wrong if you don't really pay attention to which buttons you're pushing on your phone.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
All right.
All right.
It's Friday morning. That means Ralph's got the movie beat.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you about all the new movies in the theaters today.
Today's your Taken to Pelham 1-2-3, I think. People seem to be very excited about it.
Yeah, it looks good.
Looks good.
Yeah.
Adam Carolla will be here this week in Rage.
Okay.
We have Ask a Goddess.
Oh, this should be interesting.
And her pet, Jonathan.
Yeah.
So you're going to get a chance to ask somebody about bondage and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to talk to a dude who wants to marry a mannequin. We're going to talk to that guy.
Someone emailed me the other day and they said, really, can't you, I mean, if you're going to make something up, can't you make up something better than that? And
nope.
I wrote back and I was like, dude, this guy is for real.
I think there is definitely a sense of disappointment.
Yeah. Nope. That's going to be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I care about. We're going to talk to Matt Money Smith in Orlando about the game.
Okay.
You see the top of his head on the screen last night?
No, I didn't.
Right top after the game, when they went to interview Derek Fisher, he was like sitting right behind him. It was pretty funny. I went, hey, that's 4 inches of money.
Oh, disgusting.
Not the first time that's been said.
Exactly.
And a great band name, too. We also have the spokesperson for the THC Expo. We'll tell you about that.
Oh, right.
And we have your tickets for Breakfast with Incubus.
Okay.
So we got a full show this morning. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph, Showbiz Beat Night. That is how you want to wake up. I would suggest that right there is the deal. 5:52.
That make your eyes pop open.
Yep.
Right there, that song.
Can't sleep through that one.
No, you cannot. Rob Zombie on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning. Ralph Garman joins us for our first look at the showbiz beat. And by the way, right after this, in about 10 minutes, we're going to talk to my potential next wife, who works at the Finnish consulate, where I have been invited for dinner on Monday. So that's going to be very exciting. I can't wait to meet her on the phone here because we've been exchanging emails. But that's coming up in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Well, what can go wrong with marrying someone via email? What could go wrong there? Just based on that.
I have high hopes for it. I think it's going
to
go great.
Bean is convinced he's a supermodel. And
I know.
We'd like him to continue
thinking
that.
There are high hopes, and then there are ridiculously high expectations.
Yes.
You don't know, man.
Maybe you have those.
You don't know, man. That's
what
you have.
Well, we'll find out in a second.
Before we get to the show business.
Oh, what happened?
Let's have a couple minutes. Can we Can we overthrow the DMV? Can we go in there and start taking
overthrow the
taking
DMV.
Names and putting people in some sort of Gitmo kind of prison and start torturing?
As far as I know, we don't have that option.
Because here's the thing. I pride myself on my driving skills.
Right.
I consider myself an excellent driver. Yeah.
Everyone
yeah,
does.
Definitely excellent driver. Yeah. But my record would bear it out.
Okay.
I haven't had a ticket or an altercation with driving in many, many years. And so I have not done traffic school in many, many years.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So yesterday, my wife says, isn't your due date for your traffic school thing tomorrow, Friday? And I said, yeah, but I'm just going to do it online. I'll knock it out. I said, I've done it before. You know, the last time I did it, I got on there, and I just skimmed through the stuff, and I answered the tests, and boom, I was done in a couple hours.
Right.
She said, you know, they've changed that. The law has changed on that.
I didn't know that.
The online traffic school. It's like, no, what? She goes, oh, they put a timer now on every page that you read that you can't flip the page to go to the next page until the timer runs out.
So you have to stay there as long as they want you to stay there?
Because people were complaining when they go to the regular traffic school that it's an 8-hour, 9-hour ordeal, but people were doing it at home, were just breezing through it.
Well, the people that go are stupid.
So now they've timed it out. They've changed the law that all online driving schools have to time out the course.
8 hours?
So I start yesterday around 3. At midnight last night, as I was finishing up my online traffic school.
Are you kidding me?
I was cursing the powers that be in the state of California for putting me through what was hell!
Do you flip a page and then you literally have to stay on that page for an hour before you can switch to the next
one? Not an hour, but it's a 5-chapter. I mean, there's a ton of pages, but you read the page. I mean, how long does it take you to read a page?
Minute.
Then you look down, and there's a timer in there that says, you have 4 minutes and 30 seconds left.
Wow.
So you sit there for 4 minutes and 30 seconds. Now, luckily, you're on your computer, so you can flip over and, you know, look at things. But I can only look at Batman collectibles on eBay for so long. After 8 hours, even I get tired.
Wow.
I'm looking at porn. I'm looking at my email. I'm desperately begging someone to Facebook me. Put something on my wall.
Wow.
Do something different. It's the longest I've ever spent on the internet. And I ran out. I ran out of internet. There was nothing else to look at.
Nothing left?
At midnight this morning.
Wow. That's terrible.
It was 9 hours.
That's crazy.
Oh, my God.
Nine hours on the computer. I would read a page, and then I'd click it, right? And then go to the next page and say, all right, I got 5 minutes. And I'd run downstairs and watch some of the Lakers game. And I'd run back to my office just when the page had expired. I'd click it again, run back down. I was doing anything to try to burn time to get away from what happened to me.
Awesome.
So if I sound a little groggy this morning, it's because I was still up at midnight finalizing my online traffic.
That's unbelievable.
That is some BS right there. So it's not about learning the rules. If I can take the test and pass it, then I know what the rules of the road are, right?
Right.
No, it's not about that. It's punishment. They want me to be unhappy and uncomfortable for 9 hours. That's what they want me to do. If that's the case, then just throw me in jail for 9 hours. I'd rather lay down on a cot in a cell and take a nap. And then let me out, and then bygones will be bygones.
You're like on the Island of Lost. You got to push a button every so often.
That's right.
You're just sitting there doing that.
I had no idea that was the new rule.
Me either.
And it's apparently across the board, because they say when you get into the... They lure you in. You know, you get the front page of the site, and you get in deeper into the... You get deeper into the experience, and they say, oh, by the way, the law in California has changed, and every page will be timed, and this will take you over 8 hours. And don't bother looking at any other online traffic school, because we're all the same.
Wow.
So I guess everyone does it.
8 hours.
Mine was like called easyfastandfun.com. Traffic school is like, F you. It was none of those things. Easy, fast, nor fun.
That's ridiculous.
So I got a chapped ass for California and the DMV today.
Let's try to get somebody on. Let's talk to them about it. Give them some
really,
public
what's
feedback.
What's the point?
Yeah, what's the point exactly?
You can just buy certificates that say you did it, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, give me a call next time.
All right, next time I will.
I'll give you Omar's phone number.
All right, Felony Fred, I'll look you up next time. All right, on to bigger and better things. Showbiz news. Congratulations to Cher. She has a new son. Her daughter.
What?
Chastity Bono announced yesterday that, well, sometimes being lesbian just isn't enough. She's having a sex change operation and will be changing her gender from female to male.
Wow.
That's not much of a road to travel
kidding.
For her.
No, but still.
She was teetering on the edge. The 40-year-old activist and author has decided to complete the process that she feels she needs to travel through.
Now, will that make her then heterosexual because she's male and wants to have sex with a female?
Technically, yes.
Huh.
Yeah.
Odd.
She is known as Chaz anyway to her friends, so really, no one will have to change her name. That's convenient.
That doesn't sound good.
I'll tell you, I played poker against her. She's good.
You have?
Yeah, she was at that tournament we did last year for charity, the cancer charity. Yeah, she was there, and she kicked some major ass. All right, let's...
I'm all in. Where'd that voice come from?
Now she is. David Carradine. This thing goes on and on and on. A second pathologist, this time one hired by the family, has issued a statement saying his death was not a suicide.
Uh-oh.
But that said, the expert says it's still unclear exactly what the cause of death was, so they are waiting further results from toxicology reports and other tests before they make a final determination on what the results are. So we'll have to wait and see. But
I wonder if they'll ever bury him.
Well, it seems like there's a lot more work to be done.
Seems like they're passing him around from continent to continent for all doctors to take a look at him before they finally do.
Megan Fox apparently has had an assful.
Oh.
Of people comparing her to Angelina Jolie.
Okay.
I can understand that. Every article you read about her, they say, the next the heir to the Angelina Jolie sex symbol throne and blah, 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 blah.
I got to tell you, though, if people said about me that I was going to be the next Brad Pitt, they could say it every day for the rest of my life. I'd be fine with that.
Wouldn't you rather be the first Kevin Ryder rather than the next Brad Pitt?
I don't think so.
That's true. Knowing who Kevin Ryder is, I think it's a wise choice.
I don't think so.
She says, look, we're both brunette and tattooed, and that's pretty much where the similarity ends. She's a big fan of Angelina's and says she is otherworldly in her power and confidence. But she thinks that the media just has a serious lack of creativity because they keep trying to associate the two. So cut it out, people. She's her own woman. All right?
All right.
All right. Speaking of interviews and paparazzi and show business, Hugh Grant apparently has quite the temper. TMZ.com's got a great story about Hugh. You know, he's had a couple run-ins with paparazzi in the first place. Remember the ones where we threw the baked beans at the photographer?
Yeah.
You remember that video?
I don't remember.
Oh, that was magic.
Awesome.
Apparently, Tuesday night he was in New York, and a photographer was in his face, and Hugh started to talk very nicely to the photographer, and then gave him a swift kick to the nads.
Nice!
Yeah. Suckered him in with that old sugar and spice thing. Oh, yeah, how's it going? Yeah, good to see you. Bang!
Wow, you know, that must have been a shock.
I bet it was.
It's so obviously wrong, yet so understandable why you would react that way.
Both of those things are true.
Yep.
Yeah. There's a certain glee I get out of it, but it is obviously very wrong. And
awesome.
And Chastity Bone, I was glad for once she doesn't have swingers. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. She didn't do that yet.
And poor Shia LaBeouf. He's had a rough week. Largely of his own making, by the way. He talks out of turn about his life. He's very open. He's very candid,
too.
And so you get a lot of attention when you do that. But he was talking about the size of his unit.
Right.
In an interview last week. Talking about watching his parents have sex.
Right. We don't need to hear about that.
Talking about how insecure he is and how sometimes he just drives around on his bike on, you know, major thoroughfares hoping people will recognize him.
Right.
Which is honest, but kind of sad, I think, because he's a talented guy. He doesn't really need to do that to bolster his ego, I don't think. But apparently maybe he does. He was buying a pair of sunglasses, according to the New York Daily News the other day, and the cashier refused to believe his credit card because she thought it was such an odd name.
He'd never heard of Shia LaBeouf?
No.
Awesome.
It was a woman, cashier. She said, how do you even say this name? He said, Shia LaBeouf. And she said, do people just pronounce your name wrong all the time? And he answered, no, not really.
Not really.
Yeah.
Everyone kind of
so
knows.
So maybe he does have to go take his bike out more often and get out there and meet the people.
That's awesome.
Not everyone recognizes him. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? George H. Bush, the elder Bush, is 85 years old today. Sports announcer Marv Albert.
Yes!
He is 68. Bun E. Carlos, my personal hero, my favorite rock and roll drummer of all time from Cheap Trick. He is 58 years old today.
Do you like his new band, Ralph, The Tinted Windows? Have you listened to them yet?
I have not heard The Tinted Windows yet, but I look forward to listening to them. The reason I love Bun E. Carlos so much is because his name's Bun E., first of all.
Yeah.
Bunny. That's great.
There is
but
that.
He's the only drummer I ever knew who smoked while he was playing. I always thought that was awesome. Said that already. Adriana Lima. That's the name I'm looking for. Adriana Lima, supermodel. She's 28 years old today.
Yep.
And girl next door, Kendra Wilkinson. Soon to be mom. Kendra Wilkinson. Soon to be bride. Kendra Wilkinson. She's Mary, of course, Hank Baskett from that football team that we all love so much.
Which team? He's on the Giants, right?
No, sir.
He is a, Cowboys.
He's a little south of the Giants, a little east of the Cowboys.
Same division, right?
Redskins?
Same division, same east.
Must be the Redskins, right?
NFC East. NFC East, you're circling it.
Bears?
You're circling it. No. Stay in the NFC East. NFC East. Not the Redskins.
Tampa.
Not Dallas.
Bengals?
Not the Giants. No. NFC East.
East.
I think we've named all the good teams.
New England?
Below me.
New England?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I think what Ralph was trying to explain to you, Kevin, is it's okay if the Lakers win, but we don't really want the city to be burned down in the event of a championship. That was his concern when he saw the cars being turned over last night on an away game.
There were some cars being turned over. But he gave me two options. He said, I would rather not win and not have the city burned down.
I think that's reasonable. I think as great as a championship is, as much as we all love sports, not at the expense of burning down L.A.
See, that's where I differ with you.
Tough call for you.
That's where I differ with you. I would rather win and have the city burn down. If those are my only two options.
Interesting.
Burn, baby, burn.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I'm going to set some stuff on fire.
I don't think that's a good idea.
What do you think
of
that?
I think that's perhaps ill-advised. Well, last night was another very exciting overtime win. It was Lakers up 3-1 now versus the Orlando Magic. I know we're going to go to former sports guy of the Kevin Bean Show, Matt Money Smith, in one moment. Here's a couple of highlights from the game.
Fisher looking. Fisher puts up the three. Ties the game. Derek Fisher ties it with 4.6 remaining.
That dude has had so much trouble shooting
as
of late. And to have the stones to just step up and take that shot, unbelievable.
And ice water in his veins. If you watch him, he is as calm and cool and collected and confident as can be. And I love what he said after the game, which is, look, I know that I've had some, you know, I've been hot, I've been cold. But, you know, God bless Coach for having the faith to give me the ball in moments like that. That's all I need to know that I can do it, is that he believes in me and the team believes in me. I thought that was a real sweet moment.
And then in overtime.
Up top to Fisher, straight on three, puts it in. Derek Fisher with another clutch three. And the Lakers go up 94-91.
Matt Money Smith.
Hey.
In Orlando.
What's
the
happening?
Lakers. Hanging out with the Lakers.
That's right.
What was the mood like last night in Orlando after they pretty much gave the game away?
Pretty dour.
Yeah,
pretty bad times. You know, very for people that remember, and I do particularly because you know Nick Anderson was just a high school basketball legend in Chicago. You know, in 1995, the Shaquille O'Neal, Anthony Hardaway led Magic went to the NBA Finals, and were up three. With 11 seconds left, and all they needed was one free throw to ice the game.
Yep.
That was game one, and Nick Anderson not only missed two, but missed four in the final 11 seconds. Kenny Smith hits a three, game goes to overtime, Houston sweeps the series. Very reminiscent.
Same thing last night.
But, you know, I was doing stats for the game for the radio broadcast so I could sit courtside. And, you know, when you do that, you're so much more involved in the game.
Right.
And because you're not emotionally invested, you're statistically invested. So you're just looking for trends and runs and what are the numbers that people want to know about right now. And I'll tell you, there were some just, you know, to borrow a phrase from Vic the Brick, some kooky, wacky numbers in the game. The Magic took 17 free throws in the fourth quarter.
Right.
The Lakers took zero. Zero.
Right.
17-0. And then you factor in.
But they both made the same amount, which is odd.
Of those 17, they missed seven. And while everyone will focus on the two that Dwight missed, Hedo Turkoglu, who's an 80% free throw shooter and has been as clutch as anyone.
Yeah, he's amazing.
In the playoffs, misses five.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about this because Kevin and I were discussing this off-air, Money, and I know this has been a topic of debate for decades of NBA fans. Why is it so hard to make free throws?
Pressure, you know, you're no longer in the flow of the game. You know, it's the moment in a game where all eyes are on you. The game is not, you know, there's no rhythm to it. Either you have a good free throw rhythm and you're comfortable and you're not caught up in the moment. Because think about it, you know, Dwight Howard, you're used to playing in an arena that's raucous, that's loud,
right,
that has energy, and all of a sudden this hush falls.
But
and you're left there to think, okay, what if I, you know, I make these, I'm a hero, I miss them, I'm the GOAT.
But is there any excuse, and this is a rhetorical question, because the answer to me is no, is there any excuse for a player in the NBA to shoot 60% or whatever Dwight Howard was for the season? It just seems like that's nothing but practice.
I would say it's not a rhetorical question, just because of what Dwight – I mean, look what Dwight did in that game.
Everything else.
He set a new NBA Finals record with 9 blocks.
Right. He was on fire with everything else, but a 10-year-old could have shot better free throws.
Well, see, but I disagree. I think you have to – I mean, think about it. Historically speaking, who are the worst free throw shooters? Big men. Centers. So there has to be something there. It's
but not,
not like
always.
Dwight, but see, it's not like Dwight Howard is this anomaly that.
What was Kareem's percentage when he played?
I would say Kareem was probably in the mid-70s. You know, I mean, some guys are better than others. But I think, like I said, if you were to take the numbers and you were to go position by position, who are the best free throw shooters?
Of course.
Who are the worst? Big men, you know, percentage-wise, are the worst. I mean, look. The guy should have made one. You should at least make one or two. There's no question about that.
For those of you that didn't watch the game, Dwight Howard was on the free throw line. If he makes one out of two, the game's over.
Yeah. It's over. Series is tied.
Yep. Series is tied. Orlando wins the game. He has two free throws, misses them both.
Yeah.
And that was that. That then is when Derek Fisher came down and hit the three-pointer.
I think, you know, you micromanage the final 2 minutes of a game when it goes down like this. You know, the Lakers outscored the Magic 17-4 in the final 6.5 minutes, you know, when you include the 5-minute overtime in the final minute and a half. But, you know, prior to that, the Magic went on an 11-2 run. The Lakers couldn't keep a lead.
That's true.
You know, and I think you have to remember just the range of emotions and, you know, just what your head and what the moment is doing to you when you realize how much, because, you know, Magic win. As far as the Lakers are concerned, it's a brand new series.
Of course.
You know, you still have two opportunities. All you have to do is win home games, and I think, you know, the Lakers probably wouldn't be able to take care of that. But you lose and it's over. You know, the series is over. The Magic aren't going to win 3 in a row, let alone 2 of those being on the Lakers' floor. So I think you have to incorporate those into the moment as well. And for that matter, coaching and just a poor coaching decisions by Stan Van Gundy, just beyond poor. And I don't know, you know, I was at the game, so I don't know what Jeff Van Gundy was saying about his brother. But
he never says much bad about him.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Because he really, maybe even more, I would say more than Dwight Howard, Stan Van Gundy was responsible for that.
Really?
Well, you know, think about it. You're up 3 with 11 seconds left. The Lakers elect to bring the ball up the court because they don't want Kobe, you know, at the 3-quarters mark, instead of just throwing it right in, you know, on their side where the basket is.
It's a longer way to go. It's a choice.
Because their idea was, if they put it in back there, we may be able to somehow break free and run a play without them fouling. Because, you're up 3.
Yep.
Why wouldn't you foul before someone can put a shot up and get 2 shots?
Right.
So they can't do anything about tying the game. So for some, you know, unexplainable reason, Derek Fisher has no one within 5 feet of him.
That was unbelievable.
And it's not like, you know, the ball was whipped around and they were trying to foul and somehow it just got away from them. He took 2-3 dribbles and no one came to him.
Sized it up, thought about it.
Before he shot that. And furthermore, the guy that he had in the game, you know, Jameer Nelson, that was, I don't know, you know, how much people are following stories about Orlando Magic players that went to St. Joe's in Philadelphia, but, you know, Jameer was out for 3 months, was supposed to be out for 6 months. He just came back in this series after not having played at all in the playoffs.
And
their starting point guard, Rafer Alston, who was 4-6 in the first quarter, was given the Lakers fit, gave the Lakers fits, was probably the player of the game in game 3.
Yep.
Doesn't play a minute of the fourth quarter, a minute of overtime, and Jameer Nelson was the guy that gave up those 2 big threes to Derek Fisher. Just poor, I mean, just putrid coaching from Stan Van Gundy. And a guy that you know, everybody likes because he's so candid and self-deprecating. And, you know, it's the old Plato rule number 1 of rhetoric. You disarm your opponents by admitting, I did some things wrong and cracking a joke. And next thing you know, they're on their heels and they're not going to be in attack mode when they should have been last night.
Being fat.
Can I ask you a couple of very important questions in our remaining moments here?
Yes.
This is Matt Money Smith, nationally syndicated radio host. No, not at all. It's just that I have important stuff that I want to know. So Chris Brown and Rihanna are both at the game together last – I mean, not together, but on opposite sides of the court last night. Is that for reals?
Yeah, that's for real. And the word pregame buzz was that it was going to be their coming out party, and they were going to be sitting together, that they were getting back together, and they would be sitting
together. And how'd that work
out? They acted like they didn't even know each other, right?
Yes. So I don't know if that – that came off the track or they decided not to do that. I thought it was going to be some sort of like Orlando ploy to get into the head of Andrew Bynum, you know, to canoodling.
All right, next question. In person, is Tiger Woods' wife as albino as she appears on television? Has there ever been a paler person that you've ever seen?
She's a pretty woman, you know.
She's very pretty.
Yeah. So I don't know if I really noticed. She's sitting next to Tiger. You know, it turns out Tiger's got a little bit darker skin tone than she does.
So sure. She may have just looked paler than she really is.
It's absolutely possible. All right.
And last question for me. I'm dying to know that BS foul at the end of the game when it's essentially over, when Pietras runs into Pau Gasol. What did Pau Gasol scream at him? I know he was pissed. What did he scream at him, and in what language? Were you close enough to hear?
I was, and it was on the other end of the floor, but knowing Pau, it was something along the lines of, excuse me, sir, I very much don't appreciate what you just did.
Yeah, I read it. I was lip reading, and I'm pretty sure the F word was in there somewhere. And yeah. And by the way, it should have been.
Yeah.
It should have been there.
Most
All right.
definitely. And Bean, just so I can stick it to you, how about your boy right here going to watch the shuttle launch tomorrow morning, huh?
I heard that you're doing some heavy-duty NASA time while you're in Florida. I'm very jealous, my dude. Very jealous.
All right, Money, awesome. We're out of time. Sunday night, can and will Orlando win that game?
Well, you know, I mean, I figured the Lakers would win it here in five, so I'm not going to move off of that.
Okay.
Like I said, big picture, even if they don't, they're going to
It doesn't
win.
Matter. Yeah.
And
yeah.
One last question, and I know I'm more interested in this than most people, but game seven of the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight.
If I can impart anything upon people listening right now, men, women, children, grandparents, whatever your age may be, if you don't like hockey, watch a Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. It is, in my opinion, the greatest event in all of sport. I think this is only the 16th time it's happened, and it is as drama-filled as anything you could ever see in any facet of life.
It's Detroit against Pittsburgh. Pretty much, four or five of the top players in the league are on the ice. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's really an amazing thing, and Game 7 is tonight.
It's as intense as any sporting event you could ever watch. Highly recommend it. Or something on Lifetime.
You enjoy Orlando.
I will. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Money.
All right.
Let's say hi to Todd McCormick. Hi, Todd.
Hey, guys.
How's it going?
Good morning.
Laid back.
Good morning to you. You got the THC Expo going on at the Los Angeles Convention Center downtown LA. That's happening this weekend. What's it all about, Todd?
Well, we're trying to highlight the many aspects of the cannabis plant and really prove a point that cannabis plays a huge role socially and should be respected and actually acknowledged as a demographic of its own.
Now,
I hear that you're pushing drugs on kids is what I hear.
Well, no, we really honestly don't care about the kids. We're looking for the adults.
Yeah. So bring the kids or don't bring the kids. I'm unclear. Yeah.
No, you can bring, half the floor is 18 and over and half the floor is all ages.
Oh, I see.
Really, when you walk into the expo hall, it's going to be set up like a Blockbuster Video where you can, get the nice titles, but you can go into the 18 or older section as well.
I got you.
Tell me about this expo, because a lot of people, I want to hear some more about the various things that you have to fill up the convention center, because a lot of people who promote hemp, it's really just a thinly veiled way to get the man to agree to allow the plant to be grown so that we can smoke it. I mean, for a lot of people, no pun intended, it's a smokescreen. Are you actually talking about things that hemp can be used for that don't have anything to do with marijuana consumption? I mean, is that the point of the expo?
Well, it's a lot of the expo, actually. When I was a kid, I had cancer, and I first started using cannabis medically. And while I'm all for the recreational adult use of cannabis, realistically, we used cannabis industrially for thousands of years. And now that our environment and our economy is completely trashed, I think we have to start looking towards ancient solutions for our present problems.
Right. While all that's true, I agree with everything you just said. Honestly, though, while all that's true, it's really just, it just smacks of, hey, people want to be able to smoke, which we're fine with, but you can't just come out and say that. You have to say, look at all the other uses.
No, I've always come out and said that. I actually think that in, a society where we sell alcohol and tobacco on every street corner, we really shouldn't be embarrassed about the fact that as adults, we should have a right to be able to smoke a joint if we want to, or to take a bong hit, or listen to a Bob Marley album. But realistically, this is about a much bigger issue, and as adults, we have to acknowledge the full scope of things.
There's a statistic in the article that I was reading about this from the FBI, and they say that an American is now arrested for violating cannabis laws every 38 seconds.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Who said that? What was the group behind that one?
That was from the FBI.
The FBI! Yes.
So are you going to have law enforcement just crawling up your ass this weekend, Todd?
Oh, you know, I'm totally expecting it. You know, one of the good things, though, is we have law enforcement against prohibition. And this group called LEAP is actually comprised of ex-police officers who actually are speaking out against prohibition. These are guys that were cops and realized this policy doesn't work. And they're the ones with the loudest voices calling for this change.
All right. We went to Amsterdam one time, Bean and I. We convinced the station that we needed to broadcast from Amsterdam for the Cannabis Cup. And I got to tell you, I've never seen a bigger group of burnouts and just, you know what I mean? Like the stereotypical high, like loser. It was times 100. Are those the people that are down here?
Well,
or no?
You know, I used to live in Amsterdam, and I was always a little embarrassed when the High Times party would roll around each year because it was the worst example of Americana coming through Holland.
Yes, it always was the worst.
But at the same time, you guys live in L.A., and I mean, a lot of the artists that pass through your radio station that you speak so highly of are smokers. And where would all the great music be without pot? I mean, would you really like to listen to your music collection if you took out every single cannabis-related music item?
No, of course not. Hey, we're not...
You could say that if you want, but Bob Marley certainly hasn't released anything later, and I suspect that's because he's sitting somewhere stoned. Like, how about a new record from Bob, a little less drugs, right?
Right.
Todd, I just have this feeling that I don't know who you're trying to convince of this, but the people who come to the THC Expo are already on your side. They're coming because they're already down with it. I don't think there are going to be a lot of people walking through the doors who hate pot and don't want to have anything to do with it and are just going to hear one of your speakers and change their minds.
Well, no, you know, and I totally agree that, you know, a lot of the choir will show up to this. But at the same time, I think that a lot of people don't get the full scope of what it is we're talking about. And until you walk through the Hemp Museum and until you see the old looms and you see the old products and you realize the history this plant has had with humanity, then you get it. And that's really what I'm trying to do. And, you know, I'm all for medical marijuana, obviously, and I think adult use should be completely legalized. But realistically, I've had cancer 10 times, and I'd like to see the environment cleaned up, and I'd like to see we living in a cleaner environment so that we don't get these diseases. And I think hemp is a great solution to a lot of our current problems. So, we can laugh at it, but we used it for thousands of years. Paper has been invented for 5,000 years, and for 4,900 of those years, we used hemp to make paper. And for only 100 years, we used trees to make paper, and we've practically deforested the planet in the last century. So laugh all you want. I think we need these solutions.
Todd McCormick for president.
I agree. He's got my vote.
The THC Expo is going on this weekend at the Los Angeles Convention Center, downtown L.A. That's tomorrow and Sunday, Saturday and Sunday. Tickets are just $10 at the door. THCExpo.com is the website. And by the way, Father's Day right around the corner. Might be a good time to pick up a new bong for Dad. Todd, thanks for coming on. Have a great weekend, man.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
Ralph Garman joins us in our studio for a look at the Showbiz Beat for a Friday morning. How are you, Ralph?
I'm doing well, considering I get to sleep till midnight doing online traffic school for 9 hours.
We are going to have to address that at some point.
We
have
to talk to somebody next week because that's madness.
That's
right?
Funny.
It's not funny.
Yes.
No.
It's not you. It's funny.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it was me, so it's not funny. All right, that's what I'm saying. Before I get to the Showbiz news, I do want to give you a heads up that this weekend is, as you know, one of my favorite weekends of the year. It is Erotica LA, the giant sex expo that happens down at the convention center downtown.
So we've got
Los
sex
Angeles.
And drugs happening at the convention center on the same weekend.
How do you like Los Angeles now?
Just need a band.
We just get a rock band down there, we'd have it all.
Can we get Rage Against the Machine? Don't usually play outside some sort of convention center usually with some sort of BS message they have for the people. Erotic LA is the foremost convention and expo for all things erotic, sex toys. You can meet your favorite adult film stars. It's just a blast. I go down every year because it's so much fun. And I like to see what's new in the world of sex toys and whatnot.
Sure.
And I'll bring back a report on Monday. We'll talk about that. But if you want to go, you go to ticketweb.com or you can go to the box office at the convention center. For more information, you can go to erotica-la. That's erotica-la.com, and you'll see what's going on. But it happens today. It opens up at 4 p.m. this afternoon, and then it's going on all day Saturday and all day Sunday as well. So,
hello, Poon.
I'll be down there with my people. Yes, maybe we'll see Goddess Leanne and her pet.
It's possible.
While I'm down there.
There you go. Yeah.
We'll be talking to them a little later in the show as well.
I guess everybody does love Dick.
I guess so. Well,
Looks like finally this brouhaha between Alaska Governor Sarah Palin and David Letterman is starting to fade away. Did you hear about this? Apparently, she was doing a visit in New York, and Letterman did a top 10 about the things that she was doing in New York and the problems she had here in New York. And one of the jokes was daughter got knocked up by Alex Rodriguez during seventh inning stretch of a Yankee game.
Oops.
Now, here's the thing. He obviously was making a joke about Bristol, who got famously pregnant when she was in high school and had this guy and everything.
Right.
But apparently...
everyone knows that.
Sarah Palin was traveling with her 14-year-old daughter, Willow.
Okay.
And
who's not pregnant yet.
Who's not pregnant yet.
That we know of.
And so, Palin took this as an opportunity to fake outrage and go on all the news channels saying, he is advocating the rape of a 14-year-old girl. That was one of her quotes. Wow. And saying it was, and she called Letterman a 62-year-old pervert.
He might be, but that was clearly a joke.
Yeah, clearly.
Not meant for Willow.
And clearly he wasn't advocating raping 14-year-old girls. That's obviously not the case.
Yeah, that's just...
Anyway, Letterman apologized and invited Sarah Palin to come on the show. And she sent released a statement yesterday saying, we have no intention of providing a ratings boost for David Letterman by appearing on the show. Plus, it would be wise to keep Willow away from David Letterman. Yeah, because he might rape her.
Wow.
Come Send on. Her back to Alaska. That'll keep her safe.
Everyone is speculating Palin's phony outrage comes in an attempt to put her on the moral high ground and garner some sympathy and perhaps a little political posturing there.
You
well.
Sure don't think you gain anything by
having
clearly
no sense of humor.
Not having a sense of humor.
Yeah, I think it might backfire, too. So.
Leave Sarah Palin alone!
All right, I will.
Leave her alone!
Okay. Okay. Despite interest from TBS, I mentioned yesterday they were interested in taking on My Name is Earl as the brand new episodes over there on the cable channel.
Right.
It looks like the producers of the show are pulling the plug and we'll never to see Earl finish his list of karmic paybacks.
Do we know what percentage of the list he had accomplished?
We do not know, sir. I will have to go back through the every episode and keep count.
Can you do that this weekend?
I absolutely will. All right, I will get the box set and I'll let you know. Apparently, they would have had to make such extensive cuts in the budget in order to work on a cable budget versus a network budget.
Ah, yes.
That producers thought it just wasn't worth it trying to keep the show alive. So, fans of My Name is Earl, sad today. Can you blame them?
Nope.
I can't blame
them. It was a funny show.
It was a show. Heidi Montag will be posing for Playboy in the September issue when it hits stands. That's when
we
can see her. I'll take a look, too. She's an attractive girl. Apparently, Playboy says there is nudity. They're not saying how much.
Yeah.
And it's tasteful.
Yeah.
Which means that's it's nothing.
It's the BS celeb ones.
BS nudity. It's going to show like an elbow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at my ankle. It's exposed.
Shouldn't you be required to show vagina, though, if you're going to be in Playboy? Don't you
well,
think?
Well, they're not big on the gynecological sort of
I'm not talking about that kind of shot.
In Playboy.
I'm just saying the topless-only shots are pretty bogus in Playboy. That's all.
Playboy is basically boobs. It is basically topless. I mean, you see sort of, you know, they're nude, but you're not seeing.
It sounds like this is barely even going to be that.
Yeah, I don't know what percentage nudity we're going to get from Heidi, but.
Here's my shoulder. Next page.
Hope she cries. That's all I care. Hope they have photos of her crying, naked and crying. Heidi, that would be the best shot of Heidi ever.
This is not a nice magazine.
With bug bites all over.
And I have bug bites.
I'm a Christian and I'm naked. They're looking at me and I have bug bites. And they're evil and they're mean.
I just don't know why they're such mean people.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't either. Today's celebrity birthdays. Speaking of Playboy, Hef's former girlfriend, the girl next door, Kendra Wilkinson. Who's got her own smash hit reality show on E! Called Kendra.
Wow.
Where she does a lot of that laughing.
Yeah, that's enough to turn me right off that channel.
I don't care how hot she is.
Nope.
That would be a deal breaker.
That is a deal breaker.
She's 24 years old today. Soon to be a new mom as well. Adriana Lima. Is 28 years old today. A lot of hot chicks.
Remember when she came into the studio, we sent Mike out for food?
That was awesome.
Because he loves her so much. And then he got a speeding ticket on the way back trying to get back in time. That was awesome. Yeah.
The first George Bush president, George H. Bush, is 85 years old today. Sports announcer Marv Albert is 68. Bun E. Carlos, drummer for Cheap Trick, is 58 years old. Do you know they got a gig in Vegas, Cheap Trick does, where they play the entire Sgt. Pepper Beatles album in concert?
That's weird.
You can go see them play the entire Sgt. Pepper album if you like.
I don't know why you want to see Cheap Trick play Sgt. Pepper, but look, Beatles aren't doing it.
Beatles aren't doing it.
They're not using that album. Somebody might as well. And that's it. Unless you count Grandmaster D of Houdini. He's 47 years old.
That's
today.
Probably it.
I've never met him.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, we are going to give away tickets for our breakfast with Incubus. If you'd like to call right now, 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. We are going to play a little game called Lick Lisa, and we will do that next.
Breakfast with Incubus is just a few days away. If you want to be there in person, you can call right now. It's time to play Lick Lisa.
Can you lick Lisa? I think you'll find it's hard. But if you do lick Lisa, something hot's waiting for you.
Woo! Lick, lick Lisa, 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 but keep clear of her vagina.
Gotta have rules.
I'm dangerously dry.
Yeah.
Oh!
Wow.
You have to have rules.
That's right.
Sure. All right. Kevin, explain for perhaps some new listeners and the callers on the phone how the game is played.
All right. We're going to ask a question. It's going to start out kind of related to Incubus, but from there it will go anywhere. Who knows where it's going to end up? The answer is going to be a number. Mm-hmm. Lisa May is going to answer first, and then you on the phone just have to say, is she exactly right, or is the real answer higher or lower?
Exactly.
And if you're correct, you win the tickets. We're not doing a drawing this time. We're giving away tickets to every winner.
Fantastic. All right. Let's give it a try.
Let's begin with Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Hi, Lisa.
Now, this
Hi, Lisa May.
This Lisa May answers first, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Who's doing the licking today? Who drew that straw?
That would be our intern, Armgina.
Oh, Armgina. Fantastic. Have you experienced the magic of Armgina yet, Lisa?
No, I have not. Okay. She looks petrified.
She does look a little scared.
All right, listen up. Remember, Lisa answers first. Here's question number one. Incubus's hometown, of course, is beautiful Calabasas, California. E-Reality's Kardashian clan also live in Calabasas. Lisa, your question. How tall is Khloe Kardashian?
I'm Khloe.
I'm going to say 5'9".
5'9". All right. Lisa, on the phone, is that right or is the actual answer higher or lower?
I would say lower.
I'm sorry. 5'10 is what she is.
Oh,
so you did not win. You did
not
lick Lisa. I'm sorry. Great guess, too, Lisa May.
Sorry, Lisa. All right. Let's go to CK. Hi, CK.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
All right, listen up. Bassist Ben Kenny is a former member of The Roots. R-O-O-T-S is the second album by rapper Flo Rida. Right Round, Flo Rida's big hit, sold how many digital copies in its first week, Lisa? Here's a hint. It's the biggest first week sales in digital history. It happened earlier this year.
The biggest first week.
How many digital copies?
Digital history. 100,000.
100,000. All right. CK, is it higher, lower, or is that right on?
Higher.
Yeah, way higher. 636,000 digital downloads of the Right Round song. Congratulations. You win tickets to Breakfast with Incubus, and Armgina gets to lick Lisa.
Yeah. I win, too.
Thank you, CK. Come on.
She has no idea what to do. Just, like, you can just start there.
Go for the boots.
See, at least
I'm wearing a sweater.
So what? Start with the neck.
By the way, I don't know if we mentioned this or not, but not only do you get to join us this Tuesday morning for the super secret Breakfast with Incubus, but we'll also give you tickets to go see the band at the Hollywood Bowl July 13th. There are still a tiny amount of tickets left. What's going on down there?
I'm flipping them off. Armgina's a failure in every way.
Mediocrity. We're doing our best.
All right, let's go to Gwen. Hi, right. Gwen.
Hello.
Hi, Gwen.
Hello.
Good morning, Gwen. All right, listen up. Here's your question. Incubus's last album was titled Light Grenades. The word grenade is derived from the French word for pomegranate, as shrapnel reminded soldiers of the seeds. Your question. How many calories are in a standard 6-ounce pomegranate martini?
Jesus.
All right, Lisa?
How
many calories?
130.
130. Gwen, is she right on, or is the actual answer higher or lower?
Higher.
179 calories. Good guess.
Good guess.
Thank you.
You licked Lisa. You, congratulations.
You're going to go see the concert. You're going to be at our breakfast.
Okay.
Come on, Armgina. You're fired.
There you go.
She's fired.
Yeah.
No. Seriously, you've got
ever.
Her name
you've
is
got
Armgina.
A free pass.
You can't find her.
You've got a free pass to lick Lisa anywhere except for one spot. You go for that. Come on.
Get your stuff and go. Hi, George.
Hi, George.
All right, here's your question.
An incubus is a mythological demon who has sex with sleeping women. Rohypnol, also known as the date rape drug, is not legally available for prescription in the United States, but it is legal in 60 countries. Here's your question. How much was The Hangover's opening weekend box office? For folks who don't get it, Rohypnol plays a large part in the plot line of The Hangover.
I think The Hangover was about $45
million. $45 million. All right. Is that right on, George, or is the actual answer higher or lower?
I believe it was a little bit less.
You are so right, but a great guess. $44.9 million.
Oh, you are
oh my
so
God.
Lucky.
Wow. You said 45. It was 44.9. And he wins tickets to see Incubus and a chance to come to our breakfast.
Good for you.
Thanks, well, guys. Get a good weekend up for Lisa for me.
All right, come on.
There you go. All right. Oh, yeah.
That's come big. On!
Yay!
What the hell?
All right, there you go.
Hey, we need a new liquor in here.
No, yeah, good. No, listen,
we need a
fine.
New liquor.
No, she's
we're
not fine.
Breaking her in.
She's not fine because not only is she a bad liquor, she looks at us and rolls her eyes like, what? What am I supposed to do? What am I here for?
What is wrong with you?
Get out. Man. Get out. Get out.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. Alex, how take her place. Armgina, out,
so then
out,
I actually
out.
Have to wipe off at the end?
Yes.
Always. It's arm? Always better when you wipe off.
Is that her? Do we call her Arm for short?
Arm.
Leave Come
arm.
On, go out. You're done. Sorry. You're out. You lose.
Wow. Arm. Who gets fired from the easiest job in the world, which is Licky Lisa? All right. I think we only have time probably for one more.
Right. Okay.
Sorry, that had to be done.
That is so sad. We don't even pay her, make her go to Jack in the Box.
Right, Can't but we give her this option. All right, Ryan, hi.
Hi, Ryan.
Hello. All right, here's
All right,
your question.
Ryan, you're our final contestant. Let's see if we can get you hooked up for breakfast with Incubus. Brandon's father, Chuck Boyd, was the Salem cigarette man in the 1970s and 80s. The legendary Salem witch trials occurred in 1692. Two Massachusetts courts convicted how many people of the capital felony of witchcraft?
Well, I think it was more than two. I'm going to say 20.
20. All right. Is that the right answer, Ryan, or is the real answer higher or lower?
Lower.
I'm going to say that Lisa is on fire today. The answer is 29. But yeah. I'm sorry to say you do not win tickets to breakfast
but
with
But then we don't end up. We got to end up on a high note, dude.
Want to try one more real quick?
Yeah, let's do one more quick.
All right.
Charlie, hi.
Hi, good morning. How are you guys?
Good.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Charlie.
We need a winner.
All right. Here's your question. Brandon's first book of poetry and art was titled White Fluffy Clouds. When stratus clouds contact the ground, they are called fog. Ice fog occurs when droplets have frozen into tiny crystals that require temperatures to hit below how many degrees Fahrenheit?
I could not even follow that question. Lisa, do you have an answer?
We're looking for at which temperature ice fog occurs, basically.
Ice fog. 30 degrees.
30 degrees. All right. Charlie, is that right on, or is the actual answer higher or lower?
Lower.
Yeah, way lower. In fact, it's minus 30 degrees. So great answer.
All
you
right.
win tickets. Alex, you get to lick Lisa.
Nicely done.
Cool. Kevin's pointing at her
I'm
boobs.
Just saying.
I'm wearing a sweater.
Okay.
Okay.
I
don't want her to lick my sweater.
Yes,
grab.
Just
look too.
I just totally grabbed Lisa's rack.
This is not entertaining for
and
the
I'm
listeners.
Tell you, that was good for me. I don't really
I'm
care
tell you,
about
those
you.
Those are real. That bra's not.
The old Kanye West song from way, way back in the day.
Yeah.
I think was, 2 months ago.
Oh, I thought it was like late 60s, early 70s,
nope.
Kanye?
No.
Okay.
No. Very recent. It's the world famous K-Rock at 728.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Adam Carolla joins us in about a half an hour. And coming up in about a little less than 10 minutes or so, we'll be talking to a guy who wants to marry a mannequin. And I'm all for that, by the way, because women are no goddamn good. All right. Friday morning, 729. Time for Ralph Garman and the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Let's take a look at what's new in the Cineplexes this weekend, as we do every Friday. It is the Movie Beat. Francis Ford Coppola.
Who?
Yeah.
Francis Ford Coppola. He's a director. He's made a few movies you may
not
have
familiar
heard
with
of.
Him.
Like the freaking Godfather trilogy.
Yeah, there's that.
How about them? He's got a new movie in theaters. Francis returns to his roots, his smaller films. This one's in black and white in limited release. Looks fascinating. It's called Tetro. It is partially autobiographical. Francis tells the story of a young man who looks to find his long-lost missing brother and goes to Buenos Aires to find him. Alden Ehrenreich plays the young man. Vincent Gallo is his older brother. And they both have unresolved issues with their father, who was a conductor, a philharmonic conductor. mm-hmm. and composer, as Francis Ford Coppola's father was as well.
Ah.
Who was played in the movie by Klaus Maria Brandauer, one of my favorite actors. So this looks like a great film. I love Vincent Gallo. He is quirky and odd and weird and always interesting. Francis Ford Coppola, visually arresting. I was supposed to see this movie last night. I was looking forward to telling you about it.
What happened?
You're
on
the list.
Instead, I spent 9 hours online in traffic school. So that's what would happen. But here are some
not as good
clips we've edited together from the trailer of Tetro.
He really doesn't want to know his family anymore.
You stay 1 week.
Thanks, Angie.
Angie's dead. My name is Tetro.
People around here don't know much about me.
I'd like to keep it that way.
Miranda doesn't even know who our father is.
When I met him, he said he was a writer.
So what was it about?
Rivalry.
You're writing the story of our father.
They're great stories. They don't have an ending.
What has happened to our family?
Rivalry.
Coppola,
no sense whatsoever of that movie.
Francis Ford Coppola loves family stories. He always thought The Godfather was the story of a family, not the story of mobsters. You know,
right.
He loves investigating the dynamics of a dysfunctional family, and this looks like he does it in his usual style. Moon is a movie that I can't believe got past me. This has not been on my radar at all.
I've never heard of
it. And it's right up my alley. It's a science fiction film starring Sam Rockwell, one of my favorites.
Wow. I like him.
Yeah. He apparently plays an astronaut who works on a 3-year stint on the moon, working alongside his computerized pal, who is a robot, and voiced by Kevin Spacey in this film.
Okay.
Apparently, it's a very thought-provoking science fiction drama. Sam Rockwell, here's a scene from Moon.
Hey, Gertie, since I've been up here, I've sent her over 100 video messages. Where did those messages go? Did they ever reach her?
Sam, I can only account for what occurs on the base.
What about the messages she sent to me?
Sam, I can only account for what occurs on the base.
Something's going on there.
Tell me something, robot.
Oh, robot computer voices are always spooky to me. Let's take a look at Imagine That, the new Eddie Murphy movie. Oh, Eddie, you're a crazy dad.
I hope he plays more than one role.
No, in this one, sadly, he just plays one role.
Oh, that's too bad.
He plays a dad who doesn't have a great relationship with his young daughter until his business starts to fail and his daughter's imaginary friend starts to give him business advice that turns his career around.
What?
Don't you understand, Kevin? She's got an imaginary friend who gives him insight into the world of business. So he starts spending more time with his daughter, and everyone learns an important lesson at the end. Here is a scene where Eddie Murphy's trying to make a deal with his kid to... make a deal with a kid to deliver a message to his daughter. And the kid, by the way, in this scene is the little kid from Role Models.
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, here you go.
Hey, my man. Hey, little man. Hey, why don't you do me a favor? I want you to go into the kids' only room and talk to Olivia Danielson and tell her dad's out here. I'm going to give you $20. Go in there and tell her that dad's out here and needs the Goo Ga. Okay?
A what?
It's a Goo Ga. It's a pet name for the blanket. I need the blanket. Just go in there and tell Olivia Danielson her dad's out here and get the blanket. $20, man. Come on, brother.
I'll take 50, my brother.
50?
Or you can take your grown self up there and get the Goo Ga on your own.
I got this. Pete's coffee car.
I'm a kid. I don't drink coffee.
Well, they got other things. They got cookies and cakes and scones. You like scones?
Scones? What I look like, the Queen of England?
That kid steals the movie from Eddie Murphy.
He's great.
Remember when Eddie Murphy used to be funny?
Yeah.
Yeah. I said, give this kid his own movie and get him Eddie Murphy out of there. And lastly, The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3. John Travolta, Denzel Washington. This is a remake of a classic 70s thriller, and it looks to be real good to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looks exciting. Looks high tense. Sometimes I have a problem with Travolta when he plays villains because he does tend to overact a hair
a bit,
and chew up the scenery a tad. But it looks like he might get away with it in this film. Here's a scene where John Travolta is making contact for the first time with Denzel Washington, who plays just a dispatcher in the New York City subway system. And unfortunately, he's the guy who takes the call, ends up being the contact man for this terrorist who has kidnapped a car full of people on the New York subway and is demanding a ransom for their release.
Yes, I read you, Pelham 123. This is Control Center. Who is this?
It's me, man.
Who the hell is this?
This is the man who's going to rock the city. This is the man who's going to give the city a run for the money. Now look up. Look up at your screen. You tell me what you see. You see what I've done?
I see it.
One car is much more manageable than 10 with manpower I got. Mr. Motorman's going to tell you all about it.
Tell them what we got here.
They got hostages, lots of them, and they got machine guns.
They got machine guns.
They got machine guns. They got hostages. That is a recipe for tension, my friends.
I'll watch anything Denzel Washington is in.
He is always, he's great. He always delivers, yeah. So, my pick.
The Hangover.
For the weekend. It's not The Hangover. No, that came out last week.
Oh.
Taking a Pelham 1-2-3. I love me a good taut thriller, and this looks like it delivers. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
I think we need to warn the affiliates, Kevin, that we may be going long. This show may go till noon today if this conversation that we're about to have goes the way I hope it will. I can't pronounce his name, but I do want to welcome a K-Rock listener to the phone right now. And let's find out who he is.
Hi, do you say your name Duavid?
Correct.
Correct, okay.
Duavid. And what's your last name, Duavid?
Hakoin Abadol.
Okay. And the best to you as well. All right. So we're glad to have you on the show. Thank you so much for getting in contact with us. You might have heard that we've been looking for you because of another listener of the Kevin and Bean Show named Gerardo, who wrote to us about you.
Oh, very good.
He says, I work for a company that wholesale women's sexy apparel, and this really cool dude called us last week looking to buy a certain mannequin that he saw on display at our store. He wants to buy the mannequin for $100, and he wants to marry it. And we said, this is our guy.
Yep.
Correct.
So, David, why?
I saw her face, her chiseled cheekbones, her beautiful, full black lips, her black, luscious eyelashes, and her gorgeous eyes, and her sweet smile, her long, gorgeous hair, and the rest of her body just melted my heart.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you thought this is someone that I not only – this is a doll that I not only want to have in my house, but I want to marry and make my wife.
Correct.
Okay. Now, let me just ask that the follow-up on that. Why wouldn't you buy the mannequin from the guy and take it home and just have it at home? Why do you then take the next step, which is to marry it?
Well, I am tired – of fighting with women's insecurities.
Okay.
No arguing, no screaming, no complaining.
Right.
I hear that. I'm 100% with you, but I think Kevin's question is, couldn't you and the mannequin just live together? Why do you need to go to the extra step of a legal wedding?
Well, an asbestos attorney suggested that no judge is going to do it. Just get on the bus to Boston like that. Just get on the bus to Boston. Couple weeks and just leave.
What? I'm sorry, I didn't understand that.
No, she said, the woman attorney who does asbestos lawsuits said, no judge is going to marry you to a mannequin.
Okay.
Just get on the bus with her to Boston next week and go.
Oh, I see. So you consulted an attorney that is an asbestos attorney.
Yes.
And she said no judge would marry you.
She said no judge is okay. going to... perform this marriage. She said, just get on the bus to Boston next week with her.
Okay, now, okay. In Boston, will they?
Yes, we're going to go to Boston. Boston's got Section 8. Boston's got food banks. Boston's got a $16 transit pass for senior disabled. I'm disabled.
Right.
And
they marry men in mannequins?
No, just take her to Boston and live.
Oh, I see. So you're not...
Why do you have to go to Boston? Why can't you stay here?
I've had my fill of California.
Okay.
Okay, but again, why go to all the trouble of trying to make it a wedding and a ceremony and involve a judge or a lawyer or any other people? Why don't you just take the mannequin home and live together and just be happy with the two of you?
She won't complain.
I tried living here, and I cannot live here anymore. It's too, it's not ungovernable, not unconscionable. It's too dysfunctional for me.
Okay, it's too dysfunctional in Southern California, so you need to get out.
The whole state.
Okay, all right, the whole state. Okay, so are you still going to try and go through with the wedding part? Because you did email Gerardo, and then he emailed us that we were invited. He was invited to your wedding. I would like to come to your wedding as well.
Well, I'm waiting for answer from the judge that I was given a name, and over a week, no response. So
I see.
I'm going back to the advice I was given by the asbestos attorney. He said, just get on the bus.
Get on the bus to Boston. Boston.
Okay. Let me ask you this question, Duavid, and that is, what kind of, forget the wedding for a minute, What kind of life do you envision with your mannequin? I mean, what kinds of things will you guys do at home? Will you dress her? Will you cook for her? What will you do?
Yes, sweet and relaxing and comfortable.
No arguing, most importantly.
No arguing, no screaming, no complaining, just sweet, relaxing, and comfortable.
But, I mean, will she sleep in the bed with you, and then you'll get her up, and you'll shower her, and you'll dress her, and you'll put her at the breakfast table, then you'll move her into the living room to watch TV with, you'll take her out to the park? I mean, you'll do all of those things as if she were a real person.
Treat her like my queen.
Like your queen. Okay.
All right. Let me just break in real quick. Jason is on the phone. Hang on to Avid. Hi, Jason.
What's going on, Kevin?
What do you got for us?
Hey, dude, if you want to marry this mannequin, I'm your man, dude. I'll do it for you, dude.
You're ordained?
I'm ordained.
Do Avid, this guy is ordained and will marry you and the mannequin.
But fine. You got to come. You got to invite Kevin. You got to invite whoever wants to go to the wedding.
Fine.
He's in.
Fine. Great.
This is all working so well. All right, Jason, you hold on. We're going to take your information, okay?
All right, man.
All right. Very cool.
Duavid, I'm trying to figure out a way to ask this question. I don't want to upset you or not, but as beautiful as this mannequin is, aren't there other...
she's the most gorgeous female creature I've seen on this earth.
Yeah, she sounds beautiful. But aren't there other beautiful dolls and mannequins that are a little more, shall we say, functional than a store mannequin?
No.
There aren't. Have you ever fallen in love with another mannequin?
No.
This is the first time?
Yes, and the only time.
Wow. You know that this is for life, basically.
Yes. That's what it's supposed to be.
Okay.
Okay. When you told Gerardo that you wanted to buy this mannequin, did he say that he would allow that?
Yes.
He did. Okay. Because we talked to him, I believe yesterday or the day before, and we told him with no holds barred, he has to sell. That's your true love.
Yeah.
So we're on your side, David.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
It's no problem.
Okay.
I've appreciated everybody for being so sweet and kind to me.
Well, I mean, look, who are we to stand in the way of true love? I mean, if you found the thing that makes you happy, far be it from us to try to keep you apart. I mean, I think we all agree on that, right, guys?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we're about out of time for right now, but we'd like to know if we have your permission to work on maybe setting up a little ceremony for you. Would you be willing to get married on our show?
Very good.
Okay.
He's in. Okay.
All right. Fantastic. So we're planning a wedding. Who knew? When we woke up this morning, we would be planning a wedding. This is going to be very exciting. Now, how many people do you think, just offhand, you'll want to invite?
You ever hear the phrase, the more the merrier?
Yes.
Sure. Okay.
So that,
I just want to get her and me on the bus to Boston.
Okay.
Next week.
The bus to Boston is very important. Maybe we can do it one morning next week. And then immediately have you shuttled to a bus, and you can go to Boston to live happily ever after.
Very good.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you
all right.
For your help.
Yes, we would like to talk to you on the phone on this show next week so we can discuss some more specifics about the wedding.
Very good.
All right. You're the best.
Thank you very much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
Okay.
Talk to you next week. We're in the business of setting up weddings.
It's going to have to be fast, you guys. There's a bus to Boston with his name on it.
Yep.
I feel good about it, although I really feel bad for the gays that are listening that can't get married. It's the Kevin and Bean Show for a Friday morning. Guys, here I was coasting toward the weekend, and now my head's all filled because we got to plan a wedding. Now, all of a sudden, I'm thinking about entertainment. I'm thinking about flowers, transportation. I mean, so many things going into this great wedding that's coming up.
Bean is bridezilla.
He is.
That's all I got to tell you. He's starting already with his attitude.
He's going to go crazy. It's not your day, Bean.
That's right.
I want to make sure that our little Fred gets what he wants. That's all. Because he sounds very deeply in love, and who could stand in the way of that? All right, it's the Kevin and Bean Show Friday morning. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Adam Carolla coming up after the top of the hour. What you talking about, Ralph?
Well, remember how I mentioned it looked like the whole Palin Letterman feud was finally going to blow over? We could all be done with it.
Yeah. He said it was done.
Nope,
still going.
Well, Sarah Palin booked herself onto the Today Show this morning to talk about it.
To talk about the Letterman thing?
Yes. Even though he's apologized?
Yes. Mm. You think she's letting this go, Lisa? She hasn't been this much in the spotlight since the convention.
Yeah. She's going to ride this for a month.
Talking to Matt Lauer, she said, and I quote, "He doesn't owe me an apology. I would like to see him apologize to young women across the country for contributing to that thread throughout our culture that makes it seem okay to talk about statutory rape. It's not cool and it's not funny."
Ralph, for the people who
barely pay attention and don't know what this is about. What did he say? How is she interpreting it?
Letterman did a bit about her trip to New York, talking about the top 10 most difficult things for Sarah Palin. The top 10 things that happened to Sarah Palin while she was in New York. And one of the, like, number seven, stop by Saks Fifth Avenue to update her slutty flight attendant look. You know, things, he took some shots, but he takes shots at everybody.
That's his deal.
One of the shots was, daughter got knocked up by A-Rod during seven-inning stretch. Meaning, of course, the famously pregnant 18-year-old daughter of hers. Of course. Who's been all over the news with her new baby.
Which is clear.
Unfortunately, the family was traveling with their 14-year-old daughter at the time, so now everyone is saying that David Letterman was talking about the 14-year-old daughter, making the joke. He didn't know which daughter she was traveling with. He didn't care which daughter she was traveling with. He was just making a bunch of jokes about Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
And now she has turned this into an opportunity to step into the spotlight and claim that Letterman was advocating rape of a 14-year-old girl.
Oh,
that's the phrase they keep using over and over and over again.
Which is unbelievable because the only statutory rape in this whole story is Bristol Palin getting pregnant at 17.
Yeah, right. No wonder young girls have such low self-esteem, she said, when we think it's funny for a so-called comedian to make a remark like he did and think it's acceptable.
Wow.
When did we all become so dense and humorless? When did it become acceptable just to be a humorless wonk?
About 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's sad. So, it's not over yet.
Great.
You removed the fun. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, nice work. Good job. Cher's got a new son. Her used-to-be daughter, Chastity Bono, announced yesterday that she is changing her gender from female to male.
Okay.
That literally is like moving across the street. It's like buying a house across the street.
Same neighborhood. Live in.
Same neighborhood. Same street. You're just going to live on the other side of the street.
Same neighbors.
I'm saying she's about to pull something out of her pants.
It's not a big trip.
Right. It's not a long trip. Saying. Right.
She's been known as Chaz to her friends for years, and now she will be again, only she'll have a penis.
Harvey Levin, TMZ, brings up an excellent point today that she's in a committed long-term relationship with a woman.
Yeah.
And whenever she can get the judge to declare that she's a man, boom! All of a sudden, now she can get married in the state of California.
That's true. I didn't How about think that? About that.
So bizarre.
And then change back?
Well,
see, that's what we're saying, gays. We're not saying you can't get married. You just have to go through massive life-altering surgery first before we let you get married.
Cut off some body parts.
That's all we're saying. Or add some.
Then it would be fine.
Just do some surgery and then you can get married. What's wrong with you people? Why don't you want to have massive surgery? Damn, the gays with their not wanting to do surgery. The hell?
Or marry a mannequin.
Right. These are your options.
And sex reassignment surgery, simple.
Easy.
Nothing.
It's like
nothing.
I think it's an outpatient procedure now. You go into the clinic,
That's
snip,
right.
snip, tuck, tuck. Boom, you're back in the street with like a briefcase and a mustache.
They give you both?
Yeah. Until the ears grows in. Madness. The world's going mad.
It is.
It's going freaking crazy.
It really is. We're planning a wedding for a man and a man and a mannequin. That's happening.
You can get married after surgery. Bristol Palin says David Letterman wants to rape her 14-year-old daughter. Sarah Palin, rather.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Madness. Before I give you the celebrity birthdays, I want to give you a heads up. You know what? Oh, damn it.
Heads
Maybe
up.
Next hour. Next hour. Everyone's talking about this new show on HBO called Hung.
Yes.
About a story of a guy who's massively well-endowed.
Right.
Yes.
And he tries to capitalize on that somehow.
Right.
Well, so there's all these lists now of famous dudes who've got big units.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then someone put out a counter list of famous dudes who have tiny units.
Awesome.
So I've got all this unit information, and I got no place to put it because we're out of time. So maybe next hour I'll give you the unit lowdown of your favorite celebrities.
Okay.
All right. In the meanwhile, let's give you a celebrity birthday, shall we? Oh, I also want to mention again, Erotica LA happens this weekend at the Convention Center. Speaking of Wangs, if you want to check out the latest and greatest in erotic novelties, toys, adult films, you name it, it's all there at Erotica LA. It kicks off this afternoon, lasts through Saturday and Sunday at the Los Angeles Convention Center downtown. Go to ticketweb.com or erotica-la.com for more details.
Chicks love Wang Bone.
They do. Except maybe not Chastity Bono. Today's celebrity birthdays, George H. Bush is 85 years old today. Marv Albert, sportscaster, 68. Bun E. Carlos of Cheap Trick celebrates his 58th birthday. I love me some Bun E. Carlos. That cigarette dangling out of his mouth, wailing away on the drums there. Mama's all right. Daddy's all right.
Does he smoke during every song?
As far as I've ever seen. I've never seen him without a cigarette in his mouth.
Keeps relighting them.
Yeah.
All right.
I think he's got a drumstick that he clicks, and actually a flame comes out of the end of the drumstick. That'd be so cool.
He smokes it.
Lighter drumstick. Adriana Lima is 28 years old. And the girl next door, Kendra Wilkinson, Hef's former girlfriend.
That's her real laugh, by the way.
Man.
That is her real laugh.
And she laughs a lot. She's a very happy girl.
Murder.
Yeah, you may be right. Hmm. She is 24 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. That is Incubus. If you want to join us with our Breakfast with Incubus. Hey, are we got any more tickets for today, Kevin?
Or we do not. Not today.
We do not have any more for today, but we will have more throughout the day. And, of course, Monday morning, your last chance to win the breakfast is going to be Tuesday. Be sure, if you're not there, to be
this
listening
just
Tuesday
in.
Morning.
This just yes. in. We have one pair left. We'll give them away before the end of the show.
We have one pair left. Yep. I'm glad I went to you as my backup guy.
Sorry, bad. My bad.
One pair left. Later on this hour, your chance to win is coming up. I'm on AdamCarolla.com right now, checking out the latest podcast. And there's everybody on here, from Adam with Bob Odenkirk to Francis Ford Coppola to Dexter Holland, Uriah Faber. I mean, you get the guests on the podcast there, and you get them all coming to your house mostly, right, Adam?
Yeah, they're sweet. Well, a lot of them are actually, no, to be fair, once in a while we have to leave. Like, we did go to Francis Ford Coppola's hotel.
Okay.
And sit down with him. And I started off with, like, I don't prepare much, and I'm not going to prepare much to talk to a guy who's a UFC fighter or Dexter or whoever.
Right.
But this is Francis Ford Coppola. So I thought, you know what? I better chamber a question before we sit down.
One.
Just one before we sit down. So I thought, here would be a great opening for Francis Ford Coppola. My son is named Sonny. He's Santino.
Oh.
It's Sonny Corleone.
Right.
And my daughter is named Natalia, and his sister is named Talia.
Right.
She's Talia Shire.
Right.
So I'm assuming that's Natalia, but it's Talia Shire. So we sit down, and I say, hey, Francis. I call him Frank. I said, Frank, you know, my son, his name is Santino, and his twin, my twin daughter, she's Natalia, you know, like your sister. And he went, all righty.
So you're off and running.
Off and running.
Well, there's certainly no more conversation to be had after that.
No.
Unfortunately.
No. Good guy. And you can watch me talk to him for almost an hour if you like.
Fantastic. Yeah, please do that. Go to AdamCarolla.com. And if you haven't seen Adam's tremendous boxing movie that he wrote and starred in, it's called The Hammer, and it's currently showing on HBO. Right now, though, Friday morning on The Kevin and Bean Show, 8:13, Adam is here with This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Yeah. All right. First, I want to talk about car doors. I don't know if you guys have noticed. I just got a new car, and it already has one of those big dings in the side where someone else's SUV door had slammed into it. 2 days.
Two days
into it. Just a huge divot right in the side of the thing. And I started to get angry at all the motorists and all the inconsiderate people in the parking lot. I'm thinking to myself, what do? Just roll over and kick the door open with your feet like you, like it's Chappaquiddick or something, like you went off the bridge and you're in a body of water and you have to escape? Like, how are you opening this door? With your arm, or you're throwing your shoulder into it? And then I realized, as I was opening my door, car doors have two settings. They have the one opening. The one opening, which is like 6 inches, it stops. It's spring-loaded. It's enough to get a greased Biafran through if you if you got a running start. That opening you can't fit through. And then there's the second opening, the one that swings open enough to just get like, really, you could get a you could put a herd of buffalo through the second one. The second opens past 90 degrees, and it has a spring in it, and that spring has 600 foot-pounds of torque to it. So if it gets to the second opening, it's going to fly open and put a dent in the side of the car that's next to you. Shouldn't we adjust that? Shouldn't we just have one opening that opens about, 2 feet
halfway,
and normal people can get out? Why do you have have the just enough to let oxygen into the car opening and then fly opening? Ta-da! I'm going to destroy your fender opening, because car parking spaces keep getting smaller, cars keep getting bigger, and they keep putting bigger springs inside these doors.
Yeah.
Hey, Detroit. Oh, forget Detroit. You're not building cars. Hey, Japan. If you're listening, how about it? Huh, buddy? I'm tired of the side of my car looking like the goddamn surface of the moon. All right, number two, the microwave.
The microwave.
How could I have a beef with the microwave?
Yeah, it's the best invention in history.
It is, but it has not evolved one hasn't moved a centimeter in the last 50 years. Here's the problem. All the takeout food you get, you take the food home, either you order in, or especially when you take home the doggy bag.
Right.
It's not a bag. It'd be nice if it was a bag.
Yeah.
It's a foil container. Like when you go to the Italian place, you get that weird foil thing with that weird top that you can never get back on again.
Sure. Yeah.
That thing. And that thing doesn't go in the microwave. Why? It's foil. It's made of metal.
Yeah.
You have to scrape all the congealed sauce and all the good parts and all the grease off the bottom and scrape it onto a separate tray and put it in. But it's never as good because you don't get the whole essence of it. It's all at the bottom of that tray, and it's all in the serrated edges of it. And then you get the Chinese thing, and that's the paper container. That's but they put a coat hanger.
They do.
They put a coat hanger, so they're going,
so you can carry
sorry,
it.
Round Eye, this ain't going in the microwave without catching on fire. Here's all I'm saying. Can't we get the guys who manufacture the crap you take food home in and the folks who manufacture microwave and get them on the same effing page? You can't reheat food without transferring it into another container. Can't they just make a container that can go into a microwave? Shouldn't they start implementing that? Or, better yet, shouldn't all the scientists of the world, just for 10 minutes, forget about AIDS, forget about cancer, forget about putting someone on Mars, and work on a microwave that'll handle metal? Imagine the utopia of the microwave that could handle metal. Taking all those, going, coming home from the Italian place with the foil container, putting it in with impunity and laughing as you stared at it heat up with no sparks, no nothing. And not only do microwaves not like metal, they're like allergic to it. They'll start sparking and exploding. It's like, really, it's like you're going to go back in time or something. What is that? Let's get a microwave that can handle some effing metal. How tall an order is that? Or get the folks that manufacture the containers and get them on the same effing page. Yes?
I think that's a good plan.
All right. I'm with you. Last but not least, my number one, Ralph brought it up earlier, Chaz Bono.
Chaz Bono.
First off, you got to feel sorry for the doctor.
This is Cher's daughter slash son.
Yeah, you got to feel sorry for the doctor when she comes walking in for the consultation. And she's like, well, I want to go... gender reassignment procedure. I want to undergo one of those. And the doctor's like, which way are we?
Where are you starting from?
You what's got a smart pantsuit on there. Because I'm pretty good at one. I'm not strong at the other. So if you give me a little hint, just feel like we're at a little fork in the road here.
Which direction
are we going? I'll tell you what. Let me get my nurse get some paperwork. I'm going to go hit a vending machine. And then I thought, gender reassignment surgery is so quaint. It's such a nice euphemism, you know? It's like someone's going to go, Weinstein, you're being moved over to the Chicago office, and Vagenberg is taking your place. We're reassigning it. And then I thought about the other things that are so, I mean, you're getting your junk cut off, and you're having other things put there. And it's just gender reassignment surgery. It's like donating an egg. What did you do? Oh, I donated an egg for $5,000, right? Yeah, what else do you donate for $5,000? I don't know a lot of other stuff you donate. Like, I haven't been down to the Goodwill with Grandma's rocking chair and went, oh, I'm going to donate this to you. Okay, that'll be $5,000. No, you're selling your eggs.
Yeah.
Gender reassignment is you getting your wang lopped off. And don't get me started on animal rescue. You got a free mutt. You got a free dog from the pound. You didn't rescue anything. Rescuing involves a helicopter and you going down on a tether and black ops and a shoulder roll. You just waltzed into a place because you were too cheap to go to where I get my dogs at the puppy mill. Thank you. Gender reassignment.
All right, I'm confused, but Adam, as always, you're spectacular.
Thank you.
Adam Carolla Podcast, and we will be right back.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. I'm on Goddess Leanne's website right now, and it says, if you love the cruel nature of a beautiful woman, welcome to my world. Well, welcome to everybody's world, first of all right?
Is there any other nature of a beautiful woman other than cruel? That's what I've always wondered.
What is wrong with you people?
I'm right there with you, Ralph.
Yeah.
Ralph, introduce your new friends to us, would you?
Well, it all happened because we were talking about, of course, this David Carradine story, where he was found hung in his closet, hanged, I guess they say, in his closet. And there was talks of autoerotic asphyxiation. And we started talking about the fact that he was into bondage and things like that. So I was contacted by a gentleman named Jonathan, who it turns out is a pet of a goddess slash mistress. And they have a lifestyle relationship which is known as BDSM, or bondage and discipline, masochism and sadism. So we thought we'd invite them into the show and talk about that world, because some people may have some questions and not exactly know what's going on there. So
sure.
Please welcome Goddess Leanne and her pet Jonathan.
All right.
Come on.
Hello.
There we go.
Hello.
Now, Jonathan's not going to soil the furniture or anything. He's housebroken, right?
No, he's fine. Okay. He's well trained.
As long as she doesn't direct him to do that.
I went before I came in, so.
Good.
I appreciate that. Now, this relationship, I mean, are you guys a couple?
No, we're not dating. I'm his mistress.
Okay.
And he is my sub.
You're submissive. Okay.
Yeah.
And
okay,
he's like a slave, right?
He's like a slave, yeah. He does things for me.
Ralph, describe his getup.
Jonathan's got the leather cuffs on. And he's collared, and he's got a lock around his collar, and he's got a dog tag, too, in case he gets lost, I guess. They can find him.
Yeah, basically.
Is he chipped?
It says property of Goddess Leanne.
There you go.
Is that a shock collar, too, in case he talks out of turn?
I actually have one, but no, that's not.
All right. Yeah, this is actually my formal attire.
That's your formal collar?
Usually.
Do you have a casual collar for home?
Usually I'm not wearing anything, so.
Oh, I got you. Well, thanks for putting on some clothes for us. We appreciate it.
So how often do you guys see each other?
Sometimes weekly. Like, lately we've been seeing a lot because I'm moving, so he's helping me with that. But usually it's...
How great would that be?
That's one of the advantages of having a slave.
You can never find people to help you move.
And you always have a ride to the airport.
Yep. Your best friends, your brother, your sister. Oh, I'm moving. Hey, I'm busy. I got something to do. Here.
Oh, yeah. He comes to the rescue.
Oh. Wow.
And Jonathan's just one of your slaves, right?
Yeah.
You have more than one?
I've got more.
How many do you have total?
Five
slaves.
We're going to take your questions in a minute at 1-800-520-1067. Why would you, Jonathan, do this if you weren't having a sexual relationship with her?
Well, I mean, it's a lot deeper than that is what it really comes down to. BDSM is more than it. I mean, sex is such a small part of BDSM. It's actually minuscule. When it comes to it, it's a lot of the emotional aspects of it.
It's a mental trip.
Do you have a girlfriend?
I'm actually single. I'm actually single at the moment.
Single and looking. Okay.
But any woman that you were with would have to understand.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the difficult part.
And I live a 24/7 lifestyle. Some people are...
Explain that 24/7. What does that mean?
24/7 means I'm at her beck and call whenever she needs me.
Does she pay you?
No.
Well, they don't pay a slave, Kevin.
But what?
Don't you remember about your ancestors?
Right, but then why would...
Do you have an option? So, let's say you met someone that you really liked who understood the relationship but didn't want you to be available 24/7.
Can you
would
quit?
You have the option changing your arrangement?
I would definitely be open to negotiating. I mean,
right.
I would love
you want him to have a life.
I want him to date, and I want him to date someone in the scene whose lifestyle as well. And we can probably all interact.
Right.
It's very hard to talk to people who are vanilla, about this, because it's hard for them to understand. Look, I serve this woman, and, you know, it's very different. And I usually have to explain the terms. Like, I tell them that I'm her pet, and they're like, so what does that mean?
What does that mean?
Well, being
sorry, I don't really know.
Well, he's my pet.
A lot about this.
He's by my side. He comes when I call, and he's got my collar on, so he's like my pet.
So that's even a further extension than just slave. It's sort of a more of an affectionate
Have you had him spayed or neutered?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
Yeah, a slave is usually a service-based, doesn't have a lot of say. They just do as they're told.
Well, yeah, I've got slaves that work for me. I've got a web slave who does my website stuff.
Mm-hmm. Because you're also a professional dom as well as living the lifestyle, right?
Yeah, okay. I also do it for a living, but I'm lifestyle and I'm a pro dom as well.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this, Jonathan. You're not having sex with Leanne.
No.
Which, by the way, tragic. What a waste.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I would imagine
going to goddessleanne.com is worth it just for the gallery of pictures.
Absolutely, yeah.
Thank you.
But I would imagine that there's some sort of sexual turn on for you in being a pet. Isn't that kind of why you do it? And if so, doesn't that just make tremendous frustration to be turned on by being the slave, yet not being able to express it?
Well, actually, I don't have that problem at all. It's very different. And when you play within the lifestyle, you get the same fulfillment that you would sexually without ever a lot of the time.
Some guys have a hard time buying into
I'm
that.
I'm going
to
say,
sexual
fulfillment, there's like a limit to the physical aspects of it.
Right.
When you go beyond that, it's like mental. There's a mental
Right, but there's nothing wrong with the physical.
Physical, no.
Oh, of course not.
Well you're people, downplaying it, is what I'm saying.
Some people get turned on by feet more than they get turned on sexually.
Right, than by sex organs, for instance.
Right. Exactly. Right. So that's their sexual fulfillment that they won't get in a regular relationship with someone.
And I guess the mental aspect is sort of limitless, whereas physically you can only do so many things.
Exactly.
So you got that.
Okay, and go ahead, Jonathan, I'm sorry.
And what people need to understand is that the relationship within BDSM is very similar to what you might have in a normal relationship. I'm her pet, which means I'm very close. I'm kept close to heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, I put her well-being above my own. And technically, in a marriage and in any type of relationship, isn't that what we're supposed to do?
Does she make you pee outdoors?
No.
No. Okay.
But, Jonathan,
but I do
to
have
me.
To ask permission.
You do?
Explain
to me what you do get out of it. Because I think a lot of people, especially men, are sort of, like Kevin, are confused by what is the payoff for you. So describe, if you can, the sensations that you get, the pleasure that you get. Where does it pay off for you in terms of your being in a submissive state?
Well, being a submissive, it's part of my life. It's definitely, it plays a part in everything I do. So I've always gotten a lot of joy from knowing that I've made other people happy.
Okay.
And that's where this really comes from. It's putting, it's being selfless and helping someone else. And
so you're like Gandhi, basically.
He's Gandhi in a black leather collar. That's what he is.
Now, latex, actually.
Will you always, and we have so many questions, but we are going to open it up for phones. Will you always be someone's pet, or can you then graduate to God level and then you get your own pet? You move up in the world? I don't know how it works.
Yeah,
get a promotion?
If I wanted to be a master, a dom, I could.
You
but
could.
Honestly, I just feel that it's not in me. This the other day, she was nice enough to tell me that I was a true submissive, which is there's no play in me. There's no like,
that's your nature.
Yeah, it's not a masquerade. It's me.
I'm going to steal your wallet when you leave today. And you know what? You're not going to do anything about it.
Oh, just so you know, I do play hockey, and I do get quite physical. So.
You play hockey?
Yes, three nights a week.
How about that?
Do people in your outside life know?
Oh, yeah. My whole family knows. They were like, you're going to be on Kevin and Bean? And I was like, they're just in Buffalo. So and I told my mom over lunch. I told my dad.
But what about
in front of Letterman.
What about the submissive thing, though? They understand that? They're cool with it? And
oh, yeah.
As long as you're happy?
My mom was kind of like, okay, what does that mean? Like,
right.
You go and get beat up by somebody?
Right, which is our question.
Yeah.
And the answer is yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm telling you, there's nothing like being hit with a flogger.
The physical abuse is a large part of what the pleasure is.
Well,
does pain equal pleasure for you?
Not. I'm actually.
He's not really into a lot of pain.
He's not, but some guys are, right?
Oh, yeah. Some people are really heavily into pain.
All right, we're going to take some phone calls. You write on your website, I come across as a sweet girl next door, and before you know it, I have captured all control over you, both mentally and physically. I search your weaknesses and use them against you in the harshest ways.
I'm getting a little turned on just hearing you read that, Kevin.
I enjoy bondage, spanking, caning. Caning.
I brought my cane with me.
Whips.
Can you use the cane on Kevin?
No.
Yes.
I am not into that. All right, 1-800-520-1067.
Nice. Come on.
And by the way, Goddess,
you might like it. You know?
Yeah.
There's got to be a way you can stop readjusting those boobs. Because
no.
No, I'm having a.
She has a wardrobe
malfunction.
Yes.
Yeah,
my strap to my.
I'm just saying. Wow.
There has to be a way you can stop wearing that coat. What are you talking about, Kevin?
Okay,
she's got a coat on.
One way or the other. One way or the other.
Yeah, this that's better. That's much better. Thank you, Goddess Leanne.
We
wow.
will go.
Yeah.
You're right, Ralph. That was the right direction to go.
That's what I'm saying.
Your phone calls are next.
You want it?
Yes.
Guess what?
Yes, mistress.
Say you want it.
I want it.
Oh. You like that?
Yes.
This is Ralph.
What?
This is Ralph.
Yes, mistress.
Oh. You like that, don't you?
Yes.
You're a good little boy, aren't you?
Yes.
Guess what?
Yes, mistress.
Ready?
Yes.
Oh. Count.
One. Two. Oh.
That is not.
That was a lie, by the way, when she asked if I liked it.
Easy
she was going easy.
Oh, my God.
Screw you,
if I would have said
there.
Yes without a mistress.
He's just a big baby, isn't
oh
he?
Oh, my God. I would have
oh,
been
really? So,
pain.
So he said yes, but not yes, mistress, and you would have been punished for that?
Oh, God, yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
That's not.
That was from the old Sex U days when I did an investigative piece on dominatrices. And that was enough for me. That one session, I think, taught me a good
lesson.
You don't need more.
You don't need the whip, the cane that she has over there.
I don't need these gloves that have spikes built into the fingers, so she can
vampire gloves.
Vampire gloves. Yeah.
Yes. All right. Let me tell everybody what's going on here, gang. Goddess Leanne is in studio with us. GoddessLeanne.com is the website, by the way. And she's here with her pet, Jonathan. And Ralph invited them on the show because there's been a lot of S&M in the news lately as a result of the tragic David Carradine death in Thailand a couple of weeks ago. Now, Goddess Leanne, is this something that you have some familiarity with, this autoerotic asphyxiation?
Yes, I do. It's actually really, really dangerous. I had an experience once a long time ago where I was being choked, and my partner told me that when you start to feel like you're going to pass out, let me know and I'll stop.
Right.
It felt really good, and all of a sudden I blacked out before I even knew it.
Oh, wow.
And then when I woke up, I was still interacting, but I wasn't in my body. I was, like, not being able to control what I was doing. It was like I was having this out-of-body experience. Mm. So when someone is by themselves and they're hanging themselves like that, and they think they're going to stop before
it gets too dangerous.
Yeah.
They're not in control.
You're going to pass out before you even know it.
And bearing your weight down on that cord or rope is the worst possible thing that can happen. Have you ever been the giver of something like that? Do you ever choke out your...
Breath play. I do that all the time.
But breath? I'm sorry, breath play?
It's called breath play.
Wow.
Where you deprive your slave of oxygen.
Yeah.
Can you do that to Ralph right now?
No, she cannot.
I'm just asking.
You know what? I like breathing. That's the thing about me.
1-800-520-1067. It's time to ask a guy.
You have a paddle, they say, spank me, my dear. Yeah. Does it matter if you're bi, straight, or queer? We have a lot of questions. We hope you make it clear. Ask a goddess. Ask a goddess.
Wow. What's going on with Omar?
No expansion spared there.
Can Omar be beaten before you go? Is that possible?
We broke the bank on that one.
Omar Khan.
Broke the bank.
All right. All right. Questions for Goddess Leanne or her pet Jonathan on the Kevin and Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. That is the telephone number. If you've always had a question about this lifestyle, why don't we go with Virginia on line one, who apparently is new to the world of S&M.
Hey.
And is looking for some advice. Hey,
welcome.
Virginia, how are you?
Hi, Virginia.
Hi, I have a question. So, like I said, I just got into it, and pretty much I like being choked. But I have a question because, you know, sometimes if it goes on too far, I can pass out. I have passed out once.
Yes.
But also, like, if I leave any marks, you know, my boss doesn't exactly want marks on my neck. Is there any tips?
You mind if I handle that one?
Yes, please do.
I'll handle that one. Don't do that.
Well, if you're getting marks on your neck, that's a little too rough. It's really dangerous. You shouldn't get marks on your neck at all, but if that happens, it's
bad.
I've heard that some couples will have whoever is the dom, you put their hand out, and then the other person can sort of press into their hand and try to get the same experience, and then if they pass out or fall back, then their airway clears
exactly.
again.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, all the people that have died... Because there's a lot of celebrities have died from this.
Right, Michael Hudgens from NSX.
Exactly, yeah. And it's because they are hanging
Abe Lincoln,
themselves.
A lot of people don't realize.
Oh,
the whole thing
not.
With the theater
Abe
was made up.
Aren't there enough ways to feel good in this world that you don't have to involve choking yourself and possibly dying?
Well, but
look, people get kicks from different things, Kevin. That you understand. Not everybody's built the same way.
Exactly.
If you're into that, I would suggest seeing a dominatrix. It's better to do it with someone than to do it alone. You don't want to be by yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
In case if something happens,
Virginia, thank you for the call. What is the line for you, if you can say it on the radio, Leanne? Because you make it very clear on your website that there's no sex involved when people hire you to be their dominatrix, right?
Right. There's no sex.
So you will choke them out, but there'll be no sex play going on at the same time?
No, I play with...
It's not MMA, Bean.
MMA, yeah.
I do
tap
out.
You tap and you're done.
I do breath play, but I've never injured anybody. I've never had someone pass out. I've tied people up that were drunk or probably intoxicated, and I've had them pass out.
Because they were drunk. Because they were loaded?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Something about tying your hands above your head, and then I have to untie them really fast and...
Can I at least see you naked or something for $200 an hour, though? I mean, even if you won't have sex with me, it, can that at least be part of it? I mean, that's a serious question.
But you have to come in and see me.
Okay. Oh. Right. But that's really not the thing for a submissive. That's not the kick. They're not looking for a hooker. Well, they're looking for someone to take control.
When I come in the room, I have a dungeon out of my house. And when I come in the room, I am full latex and rubber and leather.
You're playing the role.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Okay. Now, do you get satisfaction out of it, Leanne? Are you a dominant personality?
Totally. I'm very lifestyle.
Are you sadistic in the terms that you get pleasure out of seeing other people in pain?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But I started off submissive, so I understand the mindset, and I know how to control. I have to control that.
I
know what to do.
That's an interesting switch from submissive to dominant.
A lot of people actually make it. Yeah. Some of the best dominants are the ones that start as submissive because they can understand the mindset that we're going through. She can adapt to what's going on in my head at any point. We don't do much of like breath play, but she does have a submissive trigger for me, which is grabbing me by the front of the throat.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's a submissive trigger?
And what does that do? What
meaning,
does
that mean? Hey, pay attention?
Hey,
write me a check.
He falls right into...
Right into mode.
When you grab him by the throat.
That happens to us vanillas as well.
We have something. Let's
squeeze in a few more calls. Let's go to Nacho real quick. He's on line 4 on the Kevin Bean Show, on with goddess Leanne and her pet Jonathan. Hey, Nacho, go ahead.
Hola, Leanne. Leanne. What's up? You know, do you ever just get a, you know...
have you lost the taste for regular sex? Because
I have a boyfriend, and my boyfriend's very vanilla. His name is Mike, and he's really not into the scene. But he goes to the parties. Like, he likes to watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's interested in what goes on, and he's very supportive of what
Can what be called normal sex still satisfy you, given all your fetishes and things?
Yeah.
Yeah? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Great. I mean, I've got a normal life. I do normal things.
I mean,
that I do.
We still have a normal life. It's not like we sit there and we're going into public and we're smacking each other and whatnot. You know, we walk
not
down the street. No one ever suspects anything. So we still live a very normal life.
It's worse
to me. Ask a goddess. Ask a goddess.
I love that.
That your boyfriend isn't into this lifestyle. Mm-hmm. That was a conscious choice on your part?
No. Well, I used to be a funeral director.
Okay. All right. And scene.
And he works there.
No, I actually...
You met him at the mortuary. Well, that's where a lot of us meet our dates.
I met him on MySpace, but... No, I took some time off, and I wanted to pursue some normal jobs, and so I became a funeral director.
I did not see that coming. And I should have. All right, let's go to Jimmy, who has a question. Hey, Jimmy.
Yeah. Hi, I have a question for the pet. May I ask your pet a question?
Yes, you may.
Oh, nice.
Oh, very respectful.
He knows.
Might have a possibility.
I like that. He's submissive, I can tell.
Go ahead.
So, not to bring harsh reality into this, but if you're her slave 24/7, how do you earn a living? I mean, I feel like I'm my credit card company's slave.
Well, there's
a job?
Not a money slave, but, you know, he's...
No, but do you have a regular job?
I'm right now, I'm back looking, but I mean, servitude doesn't always have to be straight there. You don't have to be there. It can come from anywhere. It can be from if she needs someone to talk to, she'll lean on me.
There's times where I call him and I ask him to do something online, look something up.
I gotta get a pet.
So you're just more on call. You don't have to be present 24 hours a day.
No, it's just that I'm always there 24/7. This doesn't turn off, and it's had a lot of problems with relationships that I've tried to have with women because I tell them on the first date, right off the bat, I go, look, I serve a mistress. She's very important to me. If you can't deal with this, you've got to go elsewhere.
And then she says, I'll be going to the restroom. I'll be right back.
All the ones that I've ever dated are like, oh, that's so cool. No, I'm fine with it. And then 3 months later, they're like, do you think you can stop?
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
And I'm like, all right, just so you know, the door is right behind you.
Oh, wow. Nice.
So you would choose this relationship over a romantic relationship.
You have to find someone.
Yeah, and submissives are a huge number compared to doms. So it's really tough. And the fact that she took me in literally like a lost puppy. I showed up at her door like
funny.
A lost puppy. Somebody had tricked us through one of the online sites. They had set something up for me and for her.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked in and I thought that she was this girl and she thought I was going to be a client.
I got a call from someone saying that he had seen me before and he wanted to do a session. and he made an appointment for 8 o'clock. But he wrote him an email saying it was this dominatrix and come see me and give him my address.
Yeah.
So he showed up. No, it's never happened. But the funny thing is he showed up and he was got in his submissive position. And he wasn't interacting like someone that had seen me before. And we kind of figured it out.
Uh-huh.
So I was like pacing back and forth and I was yelling and screaming. And he stayed in his submissive stance the whole time. Like, didn't get up and storm
you
out.
You knew you'd found a chance.
I was like, literally shaking. She was yelling so much at me because she sat there and she was like, I don't know what you're talking about. She's yelling. I'm sitting there. I'm kind of in a ball already and I'm vulnerable. Yeah. And
you're a woman's dream, Jonathan.
And she was just screaming at the top of her lungs. You know, she's like, let me see the email.
Welcome to being married, Jonathan.
It is like marriage.
Yeah.
Wow.
A lot of screaming. Abuse. No sex.
No sex. Yeah. Right.
I have one last question. I know we're out of time, but one last question.
We are out of time.
One last question. Just to sum it all up. Why? Again? Why?
Why not?
Well, they get something out of it, man.
Yeah. Why not? There's a question for you.
I'm going to buy Kevin a session with you. I want you to do some sounds on him. I was talking to Kevin about sounds earlier. Sounds of those rods I was telling you about before? Those silver rods?
Nope, I'm out.
And she inserts them in different areas of your body.
That's not going to happen. That is not good.
Yes.
And with that, we'll call it a day.
I think that'll expand your horizons.
Come on.
I am not down with that.
You might like it.
The website
is
goddessleanne.com. It's worth checking out. Yes, go ahead, Leanne.
Oh, can I talk about my other website?
Sure,
yes,
real quick.
But we're kind of running out of time, so go ahead.
Okay, I've got Forbid Auction.
You're stretching it out.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I've got the site Forbid Auctions. It's an adult auction site.
Uh-huh.
So I own it, and we sell adult toys and things
Forbid Auctions.com. All right, great.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks so much for coming.
Leanne, yes. Jonathan, appreciate both of you guys coming in. And thanks for coming in for
Ask
the Goddess.
Ominous voice over the airways.
Yes.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph joins us for a final look at the Showbiz Beat for a Friday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
I promised people the lists of guys who are packing and guys who aren't.
Give it
out.
But it seems like a lot of adult-oriented content this hour.
It does.
Maybe I should save that for Monday.
Maybe. Yeah.
That's we'll a do good that. Idea. So give you something to look forward to on Monday, people. I'll give you the 20 most famous guys with big units and the 17 most with little ones.
You couldn't come up with 20?
Well, the list had to be shorter
than
the other list, so it makes sense.
Got it. Let's
talk about show business. Thank you. Be here all week. Hugh Grant does not like photographers. How do I know? Because he was in New York last Tuesday night, and a photographer got in his face, and you started in nicely talking to the guy and then gave him a swift kick to the gonads.
Wow. So he kind of suckered him in by being nice and then wrecked him?
I think that will get the message across that maybe you don't like your photo being taken.
Yeah.
No word yet, but I'm assuming there will be some legal fallout from this. I think the police may want to have a conversation with Mr. Grant.
Sure.
But I can tell you, sometimes I can appreciate where the frustration must come from those guys. Like right now, I'm frustrated because just announced Joy Behar is getting her own talk show.
What?
Really?
Joy Behar? From The View.
Yeah.
Getting her own talk show on a Headline News Network, the CNN affiliate.
Huh.
It's going to happen in September, and she promises the program will be topical and fun. Nope. I bet she's half right.
No.
I'm just saying. And Trent Reznor says he's no longer going to interact with people via Twitter.
Really? Why?
Yep. He says, and he said this on his blog yesterday, that he's tired of dealing with the a-holes who send him 50 to 100 whacked-out messages a day via Twitter.
Yeah.
And it prevents, he thinks, real fans from actually interacting with him and contacting him.
Yeah, I can see that.
I've been following the Trent Reznor tweets, and he has been furious. I mean, how can a guy who must have a lot going on in his life spend that much time responding to his a-hole fans that are annoying him? I just don't understand why he lets it get to him.
Get yourself a mirror, mister, and ask yourself the same question.
I'm not doing that. It's easy for me to ignore people that hate.
Yeah.
Why can't he do it?
We don't need your hateration.
He says he doesn't like all the negative stuff, so from now on, all his tweets will be one way. He's just going to feature news about Nine Inch Nails and no personal messages, and people like Bean who follow him are just going to get the latest updated news about the band. So there. Now you've ruined it for everyone. Are you happy, tweeters? Twitters?
Way
Twitterers?
To
jackholes. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? The girl next door, Kendra Wilkinson, from the TV show of the same name, Hugh Hefner's ex-girlfriend.
I can't be anyone's real laugh.
It is her real laugh.
Wow.
24 years old today. Model Adriana Lima celebrates her 28th birthday. Yes! Marv Albert, sportscaster extraordinaire and due to spend some his own time in lingerie. If you remember that story correctly.
Oh, he
bit that chick in the back. Remember
that's right.
That? 68 years old today, George H. Bush, the eldest of the Bush presidents. He is 85 years old today. And Bun E. Mother Effin' Carlos, a Cheap Trick, celebrates his 58th birthday today. You're not very often you see a smoking drummer, and he certainly is one. I mean, literally smoking. He smokes while he drums. He's not a smoking drummer. That dude's a smoking drummer.
Right.
No, he literally smokes and drums. You have any idea how difficult that is?
No.
Don Henley said it's always hard to sing and play drums.
Now,
it's that. It's harder to smoke and play drums. You can't even pull it out of your mouth the ash, man. You got to keep going. All your hands going all the time. You
just,
know what
with the drumstick, you just hit off the ash?
Oh, maybe. Just hit on the crash cymbal or you hit on the hi-hat or something. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. Tuesday morning, we're going to have a breakfast with Incubus. Go to the website. Yep. Put in some questions, if you'd like, for the band. And we're going to pick somebody from that group as well. Come to the breakfast.
Oh, and they get to go?
Yes.
Ooh. Awesome.
See, now that's awesome because we've been hearing from lots of hardcore Incubus fans who are looking for a chance to go. They haven't been able to get through on the phone, so this is a way that you can kind of show off your Incubus knowledge and perhaps win tickets into the thing, too.
Questions that we would want to ask the band is what we're looking for.
But you're going to have to Thinkubus.
Oh!
Woo! Have a good weekend, everybody.
Rave. That's it, sir. You want to start the weekend? One more thing left.
All right, let's start. Chit-chat time's over.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Check this out.
Do not bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Roll another one. Just like the other one.
Turn it up!
This one seems to be about to quit.
We have to play so loud.
And I need another hit.
Jokes are fun and funny, but when they're at the expense of someone, they're just mean. Like, I don't joke about people like that because it's just mean and it's malicious.
I've been behind them for a long time.
Another one.
Just like the other one.
Wait a minute. Don't get excited.
This one seems to be about spent.
This is not a very nice show.
And I don't have one single cent.
He shoots these scores. This bit is getting really played out.
Forget Twitter. I'm on the CB.
Just pass it around.
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
You go, sister.
This is it. We've had enough.
You have continued to be there for us for so many years, and you're always filled with enthusiasm and affection. Believe me, we feel the same way about all of you. Thanks for everything. And bye for now.
Time to disperse. Party's over.
I'm afraid our time is up.
Thank you, and screw you.
You're still here. Damn it, what the f*** is going on? Well, I guess saying goodbye wasn't enough. What else do I have to do?
What do you guys do over there after the show's aired? You just send the tape straight over to the Smithsonian?
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
I hear 106.7. Is it the beat?
I don't know. It's 106 points. I think it's rock. Rock. The station is rock.
Are you sure?
Yeah, they are.
Oh, my God. Am I wrong?
It's
rock. Is it K-Rock?
It's K-Rock.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Exactly.
It's K-Rock. Anyway, if it is K-Rock, then you need to get on one of their morning shows.
I would be more than glad to get on their morning show.
Yeah.
Can you take me there? And the queen just blast on the ass because they got me out there, and I don't know what the hell they saying, so check this out, radio station. Queen will be there very soon. How soon? Very soon. Because Queen need to just do some flowing. I got some to flow for you. That's right. Queen Celebrity
rap?
Protection
Hold
Service.
Hold on a second. Can you
I'm
rap?
Not a poet. I just know it. Word.
ladies and gentlemen, the Queen is here on the Kevin Dean Cinco de la Tarde. You have seen her perhaps on funnyordie.com. She's really been blowing up on TMZ.com lately, and now she joins us in the studio as the world-famous Carrick. What's so funny?
What are you laughing about, Queen?
Oh, I'm laughing because I'm here.
Because you're here?
Yes, because you're here. Exactly.
Now, is it?
Well, you had a plan, and you did it.
Is it the Queen or just Queen?
It's the Queen.
The Queen.
Okay. Okay. The Queen.
All right.
Okay.
The Queen is here.
Now, we have to ask first and foremost how you got to be Queen with a W. Like, Q-U-W-E-E-N means what?
Well, I threw in that W because of Harvey.
Harvey Levin?
Oh, yes.
From TMZ.
TMZ.com. Okay. Yeah. What's the problem there? You sound
He's
like you have anger.
He's a what?
Buster. He's a straight up buster. Doodoo Brown. I want a sake.
You want to hit him in the face?
I want a sake.
Okay.
He don't understand. I have grandchildren.
Right.
And he's just been saying all these bad things. That son of a bitch said I'm an alcoholic. That son of a bitch called me a crackhead. I never freaking did that.
I have not seen any of that on TMZ.com, Queen.
I've never freaking taken a drink of alcohol ever in my life.
Are you sure it was Harvey? Because Bean reads him all the time, and he says he hasn't seen that on his
website.
Haven't
seen him say anything like that before. Has he?
You sure? Okay, well.
It might be somebody else.
But let's back up one step and introduce you to people.
Yes.
That don't know about you.
Yes.
How did you become famous?
Well, I was abandoned after years of marriage to a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
And when he said move, I thought he was talking about the furniture. And when I realized it was me, I lost it. I went into a bad depression, and I started calling on God and Jesus to help me. And I went to Beverly Hills on Bedford. As a matter of fact, that sap sucker used to sit there. So I thought I'll go and sit there and write about what it's like for a man to beg you to marry him for years, and then after several years to 10 years, he abandoned you. I don't know how to get a guy. You know, I'm thinking that everything is great. You know, I'm with this man for the rest of my life, and
right.
then when he dumped me, it mm-hmm. really messed me
That's
up.
Tough. That's real tough.
Now, are you homeless? You have?
Yes, I'm homeless.
You're homeless. Okay. And where do you spend most of your time?
Well, I have to send a shout out to the operators because I used to sleep on the buses. The operators used to look out for me.
Oh, that's cool.
So
that's
I like
cool.
to send a shout out to the operators. The thing about when you're homeless, I don't want to get emotional, but when you're homeless, if you don't drink, you don't do drugs, you never sold yourself, it's like the pen. You fresh f***ing meat out there, man, and they know it. I don't want to get too emotional, so let's try to say something fun.
Okay, all right.
Okay,
you started rescuing celebrities from.
Well, that started with Rick Fox.
He's a beautiful man, right, Queen?
Oh, I love Rick Fox. I'm a Rick Fox fan.
Okay,
sure.
I was sitting on Bedford and I was writing my situation at hand. Another thing, somebody stole all of my writing, Oprah. You need to know. They stole all of my writing on Bedford. That's another thing that was very
Your whole story that you had written
they
down?
They stole all my
everything,
and it's hell trying to get it back. Okay, you guys asked me how did I start my protection service.
Yeah, your celebrity protection service.
Yes, Rick Fox was bringing his beautiful little girl to the doctor. And the thing about these punk-ass paparazzi, what they don't do is they don't take the time to wonder why they're going to the doctor, what their situation is, you
right.
know? And he was taking this little girl, and they were just smashing, like, you know, all over him. And I looked, and I was like, this is so not cool. And before I knew it, I jumped up and grabbed the cameraman camera, and I think I smashed it, not intentionally, but because I had misplaced aggression, and because this is somebody, even though Rick, you know, Fox is a big Laker, he's still a human being.
Right.
He's still a father. And he's taking his baby to the doctors, and these busters are just being very inconsiderate and acting like they have no type of mannerism. Maybe they don't. You know, Queen really
no,
don't
it's,
know.
We agree with you, Queen. We've talked about this a lot on the show. It's ridiculous how the paparazzi will get in people's face on private time and sensitive moments like this. And thank God somebody is standing up and saying, hey, back off and show a little human decency toward a man taking his girl to the doctor, right?
But here's what I like about you. I would have probably seen that same thing, and I would have thought the same thing. This is ridiculous. They shouldn't be. But I don't know that I would have jumped in and helped. And you did.
Well,
and that says something about you.
That says that I love people. But you guys have to remind me, I have something important I have to say that happened on Bedford, a couple of things, okay?
Okay, we'll get back to okay. That. We need to take a quick break, though, Queen. I'm sorry to do this to you, but we do want to take a break. We want to come back. We want to hear about the important thing that happened on Bedford, and we want to talk about how you ended up in the Funny or Die video with the beautiful Catherine McPhee from American Idol. Is that okay?
That's awesome.
All right.
Okay, let's do that. The Queen is here, Q-U-W-E-E-N on K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin Abid, Cinco de la Charity. We'll be right back after this. Queen is in studio with us right now. Q-U-W-E-E-N is here. She hangs out in Beverly Hills, unfortunately homeless temporarily, but has been all over the internet in recent weeks, in part because of the video that ended up at funnyordie.com with you and the beautiful Cat McPhee from American Idol. Queen, how did that come about?
I think Catherine's husband saw what happened, and once again, it could be very frightening, and because it's so many, it can be very dangerous.
Right.
You know, and right now, you know, like, okay, let's take yesterday.
So the photographers were surrounding Catherine McPhee and you did the same thing? You stepped in and helped her?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I just helped her because it was so many and she was scared.
Right.
Her face expression.
Hey, I don't blame her.
So she was scared. So me being the queen, I just helped her.
Back the photographers off.
Yeah.
Got her to safety.
But did you guys hear about what happened yesterday on the Bedford? There was a Passarossi arrested. Yesterday, a Passarossi went to jail, okay? So a couple of other Passarossi come. Well, Queen, what do you think? Y'all know Queen, keep it real. That's just one less damn Passarossi for Queen to deal with.
Right.
On a real note, you know?
Yeah.
After what happened with the school, I'm pissing my eyes up festivity with Passarossi. I am ready to kick all their butt. Now, if Queen don't want you messing with the stars, what make you think I want you messing with them damn kids?
Yeah.
How dare they be up at the school?
Oh, you mean
Santa Monica?
Oh, right. I heard about that.
They went after the
children. Where the celebrities take their kids to school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm so pissed.
Yeah.
I'm so pissed.
Now, what's the list of celebrities that you've stepped in to help? Do you remember them all?
Oh, no. It's so many. Well, everybody know Bobby Brown.
Mm-hmm. Bobby Brown.
Is my friend. Brandy is my friend. Everybody know Mama Betty is my adopted mom. You know, Luke from General Hospital. I mean, you have good people, man.
Right.
The good override. And what's his name?
Adam Lambert. Is that who
you're saying? Yeah, him. That's what I'm trying
to say. From American Idol?
Yeah. Thank you, Adam. Me and him, we had a lot of fun.
Oh, that's cool.
And if y'all need the queen, y'all come on, help the queen.
Let me ask you about helping the queen, because you've got all these friends now in high places and you're becoming quite well known. Is there a chance that this will help you get off the street and maybe get into a place, Queen?
You know, I kind of thought so, because I write, so I have wrote notes to different celebrities to help me just to get settled.
Mm-hmm. What do you need specifically to get settled?
A roof over my head, young man.
No, I know, but I'm saying it doesn't matter the amount of money. There's not a set amount that you need, because...
Well, I'm not high maintenance.
Are you able to get any help from the city, from the services that are offered by the government for people who are out of a home?
I don't want to talk about that, man. I don't want to sit in them damn buildings and cry myself a river to the degree where I had to use my hand and my tears for my towels and my water.
Here's what I'd like to do. You're so impressive because you're down on your luck, but you're still helping people. That's really impressive to me. You're not angry, even though you're having rough times.
I'm not angry, but I do have misplaced aggression with Harvey
Levitz. Well, of course.
And I'm about to get misplaced aggression with Channel 11.
Well, what are they doing?
They're allowing Harvey to do this, man. Come on.
We're going to have Harvey on Monday. And we're going to ask him about this and see what he has to say.
He won't talk to me. He's sending the Buster messages.
Okay. All right,
Queen, I'm telling you, I honestly believe, and we'll totally sort this out, but I honestly believe that Harvey is not the one who is calling you the crackhead. I think that is the delisted or maybe some of the other sites. But I don't believe that you've gotten that from Harvey Levin. I think you're wrong about that, my dear.
But, okay, maybe. Remember, the key word in that sentence is maybe.
Maybe, okay.
Maybe,
because
of course,
Harvey...
Yeah.
Do say negativity thing. He's a negative, period, man. Come on.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And well,
we're
I want to beat him up in that big old fat Humpty Dumpty bitch he got back there that's going to have a great fall.
Right. All right. If people hear you and want to help you, is there a way that we can...
Where can we steer them?
Can we have them call and we'll...
They could call my girl Kat.
Okay.
My girl Kat got my back. Okay?
What,
and y'all can email my funny or die. Mike, y'all better handle my... And
let's have them call us.
Yeah,
at K Rock.
You know what you are in my head. You're taking words out of my mouth.
Well, because I don't want to put Kat's number out there and all. Because there are a lot of people that listen and go, "Wow, I like that person. Sure. I could do something about that situation." And we always encourage them to do it. And our audience is very, very, very giving that way.
Man, so look, when I got the fan mail, I cried.
I heard you got hundreds and hundreds of letters.
I was so, oh my God, I don't want to start crying again. I want everyone to know that they sent Queen an email. The Queen appreciate that so freaking much.
If you want to see the Queen, here are some places that you can go.
Okay.
Cattails TV, KATTALES TV, on YouTube, at Twitter.com, and at Blogspot.com. Cattails TV, KATTALES TV.
And I want to thank all my angels on Bedford and my Dr. Miracle. And I want to thank you guys, too.
Well, I got to tell you, what you put out in the world, you generally get back.
Yeah.
That's real talk right there, man.
And you put out good vibes, and it seems like a lot of people are responding to it. So if you have any kind of help for the Queen, you could call us here at K-Rock, 1-800-520-1067, or email us, and we will get the information.
To the queen. Yeah.
That band is called Amberlin. On the way, we got Foo Fighters, Rise Against, Radiohead, and more as part of 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock with Nicole Alvarez coming up. Ralph Garman now joins us for a look at the Thursday Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
You like Kate Winslet?
I love Kate Winslet.
Kate Winslet.
Yep. I love her every time she opens her mouth and takes off her clothes.
Yeah.
I love her even more.
Both are good.
Did an interview this week talking about the fact that some people complain she doesn't make as many movies as some of the more popular actresses working today. She appears usually maybe one a year, on a good year, maybe two. She says the reason for that is she is a full-time hands-on mom when she's away from the set. She refuses to hire a nanny or a chef or live in a gated community. In her mind, she says it's a matter of principle that she has to raise her two children as normally as possible, especially because of her her stardom and her career. She thinks it's very important that the kids have mom around as much of the time as possible and live in a regular neighborhood and play with other kids. And
she refuses to live in a house.
That's right.
She goes that
lean
far.
To.
That's right.
She has some bark pressed up against the side of a hill.
They have to kill all their food.
And they have to bury their own poop after they go so the bears don't come around. She's a frontier mom is
well,
what she is.
How about that?
Which, by the way, is the name of her next movie. So come check out Frontier Mom starring... Kate Winslet. I just think she's so grounded and cool.
Yeah, she seems like
and hot and boobalicious.
And you're willing to forgive all those people that she marched off to their death camps and during World War II? I mean, you really just look kind of past that, I guess?
No, pretty sure The Reader was a movie.
Just a movie.
Really
it wasn't real. Just a movie.
Just saying.
You know, The Reader was such an obscure title that overseas they renamed the movie She's Just Not Into Jews.
Oh.
Try to get a bigger box office.
Nicely
Thank you.
Done.
Thank you so much. Be here all week. Tip your waitresses. Dr. Drew Pinsky, speaking of favorite people.
Gay.
He's a good... It's not gay. He's a nice
guilty.
Guy.
Guilty.
He's not guilty of anything. No. He's a wonderful man who just wants to help.
Wonderful.
He recently went public with his concern for Lindsay Lohan and her addiction issues, and now he's got her dad on his side, which may or may not be a good thing.
Does he want that?
Michael Lohan said that the celebrity rehab doctor and the host of Loveline is... In his words, has just what it takes to cure any kind of problem. It's true.
I've seen
Drew lay hands on lepers and they heal right up.
Really?
Wow. Any kind of problem, he can handle it.
How about that?
Are you thinking of Jesus, maybe?
Oh, that's right. That was Jesus. Jesus is the one with the long hair, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Drew's got the short hair.
That's right.
Never tell those guys apart.
Yeah.
He says he is concerned about his eldest daughter, Michael Lohan is, and he says he worries that her drinking and partying may get out of hand. Really? Do you think, Michael? No one has an insight to a kid like a dad.
That's
you know?
True.
He's really got his finger on her pulse,
ooh.
So to speak. Paris Hilton and Doug Reinhart, Splitsville, daddy-o.
Yesterday, they were planning the wedding of the summer.
That's yes. what I said.
Well,
now they've gone their separate ways.
Why don't you tell the truth here?
Paris Hilton's PR people have released a press release, because, you know, nothing happens in Paris' life without a press release.
True.
Saying that the two have split up. They are no longer together, and they hope everyone will respect their privacy in this very difficult time.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, no.
Okay. Then E! Online contacted Doug Reinhart for his reaction, and he answered, no, that's not true. Everything's okay between us.
He might need to make a call.
He might have to. Apparently, there was a big brouhaha at a nightclub over the weekend, too, when some girl was looking at him, or he was looking at some girl, and they almost came to fisticuffs with Paris and the girl.
Wow.
Anyway, so that may have something to do with the breakup, but no longer together.
Yeah, we're still is together. Spencer Pratt and his lovely wife, Heidi Pratt. You're not going to believe this.
Back on the show.
NBC,
no,
according
don't
to
say
Life
it.
And Style magazine,
do not
don't
say it.
Is desperately trying to get them to come back
awesome.
To the set of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Please,
I thought they hated them.
Make that happen.
They do hate them, Lisa, but they hate bad ratings more.
Apparently,
since the twosome has left the series, ratings have hit a downward trend, and they think maybe reintroducing them into the jungle would help people tune back in.
Good luck with that.
You know, Heidi's sister,
Holly.
Holly is now right. on the show.
Yeah.
People don't seem to care as much about Holly.
What a surprise.
Maybe Spencer's got a brother, and they can all hook up and have a...
Jokes are fun and funny, but when they're at the expense of someone, they're just mean. Like, I don't joke about people like that because it's just mean and it's malicious.
Okay. It is. Kudos for her for using the word malicious, by the way. I know, you had asked me $20. I would have bet you she didn't know the word malicious. It's got three syllables in it. Malicious. Yeah, three syllables.
Christians don't do that, people. You're supposed to be nice, and I have really bad bug bites.
What?
She wants people to be nice.
And she has better.
She's married to Spencer.
Right. Yep. F you. Why don't you start with your husband?
Physician, heal thyself. Wait a minute. She's not a doctor.
No.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Shia LaBeouf. Oh. I think he's the goods. 23 years old today. Hugh Laurie. Let me try that again. Hugh Laurie from House is 50 years old. He's the best. Gene Wilder, one of my favorite comic actors, turned 76 years old. If you've never seen the movie that spawned the Broadway musical, The Producers, by Mel Brooks. If you've never seen the actual original film, The Producers, you got to see it just for Gene Wilder's performance in that. Just outstanding. And, of course, he was Willy Wonka, too. He's 76. And actor Joshua Jackson. He is for real. And he's also the star of Fringe over there on Fox. He is 31 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.